listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
You know, I used to be a player, fly girl, layer, and a heartbreaker, love maker, backbreaker. But then I made a mistake. Yes, I fell in love with this ill chick, sweating me for money, my name, and the deals, Nick. My homies told me drop her for a whoopee for my benefit. She used to say I better quit hanging with those derelicts, for messing is my thing, but I can't hang with no swinging hoes, scheming hoes. Wherever my Beamer goes, you know that I'm driving. Survivor in the 90s is a must that I trust, that everyone listen up as my vocals get thrust. I bust my rhymes first. Never chasing the skirt, do much work while other suckers need more time to rehearse. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
We're in the house on a Monday night, return to Supergirl. Yeah, we're gonna do our podcast thing. It's just me and Karen. Okay, guys, if you guys listen to the show, I feel like you should already know that it's the Black Guy Who Tips and that it's at iTunes and Stitcher and all these places that you listen to podcasts. Go ahead and check those bad boys out. Mm-hmm. You can also do stuff like, go to theblackguywhotips.com and vote in the polls and leave comments. You can leave us voicemails. Keep them 3 minutes or less. 704-557-0186. 704-557-0186. We got two voicemails today, but they were both like 6 minutes long. I don't think we can play them on the show. So call back and leave a shorter one. 3 minutes or less, please. The official weapon of the show is?
The taser.
And an unofficial sport?
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today's podcast is brought to you, it's actually brought to you by a couple of sources, which I probably should already have open. First of all, thank God I've memorized all this stuff, right? First of all, this podcast is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system specifically designed for coarse, curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps. All you got to do is go to getbevel.com/TBGWT. That's right. Getbevel.com/TBGWT. They will hook your ass up with a first month free. All right, so let's get out there, guys. Valentine's Day is almost here, and you don't want to be looking fresh, okay? Just trust me on this, okay? Take my word. Prepare for success is what they always say. We're also brought to you by Tweaked Audio, okay? TweakedAudio.com is a place where you can get some earbuds, okay? I have pairs. Karen has pairs. Mm-hmm. You know, they got the all kinds of styles. Parkour, He Gones, my favorite, classic, natural. And then they got a brand new called the Heller style, which is Bluetooth, and they go in your ear, and they feel so comfortable, and they're dope headphones, man. So make sure you guys check them out. They have different colors and designs and all that stuff. Noise reducing, I mean, go with your iPods, you know, go with all your devices. And what they want to do is give you a third off. Mm-hmm. In addition to that third off, they also want to give you free shipping, and it comes with a really very, very good lifetime warranty. So make sure you guys do that. TweakedAudio.com, and then you click in code TBGWT to get all that stuff I just told you. Go to TweakedAudio.com, and in the checkout code, put in code TBGWT at the checkout box. All right, let's get into the news. All kinds of news is happening. I don't even know where to start with the news. Well, I guess we'll start here. First of all, some Muslims got shot up in Canada.
What?
Yep. But, and then when it first was reported, people were trying to say it was Muslim on Muslim violence. Six Muslim men were gunned down as they prayed at a Quebec mosque in this barbaric terrorist attack. And yeah, the people were starting to spin it. I think Fox News in the morning had reported like, oh yeah, it's some Muslims. And then they never went back and corrected it because they were going to try to say it was Muslim on Muslim violence, which is brand new. That playbook, I mean, as Black people, we understand that playbook, but that's a new one to me. The what about Muslim on Muslim violence? At any rate, it was not, as you would guess, it was not Muslim.
They were white, wouldn't it?
White.
Yeah. Come on.
Come on. Guess the race.
White.
Right. So their prime minister already has said it's a terrorist attack.
Right. Right. Because that's what the fuck it is. When you start burning down churches, shooting people, it's a goddamn terrorist attack. And America do not want to admit, I have a better chance by getting shot by white supremacists than I ever will from ISIS.
And of course, white people have already started the articles about how he was a loner and a child, even though he was like 25. And, you know, he wouldn't hurt a fly. He was 27 even. And he was literally described as a child in one quote. This article, loner. He's the loner student accused of killing. They're always loners, right?
Right.
Then they go back and show that they've been radicalized via these forums and shit. That
come on.
If a brown person shot up some shit and they have been on some like Al Qaeda type forums, we just say they were radicalized.
Right.
Dylan Roof can hang out on the internet chatting and talking about killing niggas all day, but he's just a loner.
Right. And when he still, even though he did kill black folks.
Right. He's just a loner. But yeah, he, his name is Alexandre Bissonnette. He's accused of slaughtering the men and injuring five others by opening fire on them as they attended evening prayers in Quebec. The 27-year-old student from the affluent suburb of Cap Rogue, was described by classmates as a pro-Trump loner who did not fit in well at Laval University, where he is studying anthropology and political sciences. Pro-Trump. You're not even from America, dog. So that makes you wonder.
A lot of people are pro-Trump.
What is it that appeals to a white dude in Canada about Trump?
They can't even vote for him.
You can't even vote for him. Could it be his white nationalism? Could it be that bigotry? Could it be that xenophobia? You know, the ones that people claim they didn't vote for?
Come on.
But yet this person knew enough to go and kill some people off of it. But
right. People across the world have been paying attention to our election. Like, everybody around the world was looking at America fuck up. I'm sorry. And there were people who actually support Donald Trump outside of this country.
Yep. He was arrested Sunday night at the phone of police himself from his Mitsubishi, where investigators allegedly found two rifles and an AK-47. He was charged with 6 counts of murder, 5 of attempted murder, and is likely to have more charges brought against him, police said on Monday. Originally, police believed the two gunmen had carried out the attack. And took Moroccan Canadian Mohammed El Qadir into custody. He was the one who called 911, by the way. So they took the person who called 911 into custody.
Yeah, and people wonder why brown people don't call the police, because all of a sudden you become a victim to the suspect.
Yeah, he's now being treated as a witness. So I guess that's good, you know. Mm-hmm. But and no one else is connected or wanted in connection with this. At a press conference on Monday, officials confirmed the suspect had been charged with 6 counts of murder. Searches are ongoing of his home and at the mosque. They said it's likely he will have more charges, specifically under the Terrorism Act, brought against him. As Bissonnette arrived at the city courthouse, the first photographs of his alleged victims emerged. Fathers Azadine Sofian, Bobakar Thabti, and Khalid Belkacemi, I hope I pronounced all those right, sorry if I didn't, are among the dead. 3 others who have not yet been named have also been killed, and 5 more men are in critical condition. So yeah, man, just inspired by Trump, random white dude, not even from America,
dog.
Like, the shit that Trump's talking about should have no effect on him, right? I mean, technically.
Right, but people, when people talk about the past, that past also goes above the border. So Canada got its slavery problems too, because don't think slaves wasn't up there some period of time. Don't think it ain't gentrification over there some period of time. You might say it nice, you might say it sweet, you might even give me some maple syrup on the side, but fucking racism is still the goddamn same.
Yep. So yeah, you look at him, he just looks like a white kid. But obviously with access to guns and you know, wanting to kill people. Meanwhile, people were concerned about the protests at the airport becoming quote unquote violent, and you know, and it's a riot because people decided to go to the airport and say you can't just restrict people from entering this country
right
legally, you know,
right?
What I mean? So it's funny what, when people draw that line at what they want and what they will tolerate and what is violence and what is not violence. You know, it, just a lot of people looking real funny in the light, you know, when it comes to these issues.
And it's going to be really interesting because a lot of the House and the Congress, they just got voted in. So they may be glad that this shit didn't happen prior to, you know, them getting voted in office, because a lot of them lost their seats.
What do you mean?
Like, well, there's no way Trump could do this before he got in office, but, you know, if protests and shit like this would have broke out prior to them getting their election again, you know, because, you know, they run every 2 years, some shit like that, their seats would have been in jeopardy. A lot of people's like, I'm not going to vote for you. In my opinion, I think more people would have reconsidered it. Someone probably would have ran regardless because of where they are in gerrymandering and all and redlining and all that other bullshit. But some of them would have lost their seats. I think, in my personal opinion, a lot of the Congress and cities are they're fucking cowards. A lot of them aren't coming out. They're not speaking on it. I've heard, people were saying that they're not, answering phone calls or hanging up on people, you know, people that, you know, cause they don't want to hear the people's complaint. But motherfucker, they voted you in. So you are held accountable to the people, and you can't have this motherfucker doing what he wants to do and people going, well, I'm not with that. You my representative, and as my representative, I should have a right to voice my opinion to you. And basically, a lot of them are showing that they're cowards. They're showing that they have no backbones. They're showing, in my opinion, that they have, that they're just gonna roll over and play dead. Nobody, you know, you do have people that are coming out and like, fuck this nigga. But a lot of them is motherfucking crickets. It's crickets. It's silence. Governors, senators, it's silence.
Yeah, it is a lot of people that feel like, it seems to me anyway, like they decided to go along to get along. Matter of fact, I had stories about that, and we'll probably get to them a little bit later. I'll tell you who's not going along just to get along. Kirk Franklin.
Oh, what happened?
He was on Twitter, and, you know, things go to happen on Twitter. And he was just trying to, you know, be nice, like in the true Christian spirit. He said, I'm a Christian who would rather sit at the table with a Muslim brother than ban him from a home that wasn't originally mine.
Come on.
And somebody responded, I trust you'll be leaving your doors unlocked tonight. Oh, and your brothers want to know if you have a daughter. So trying to say Muslims are gonna rape his daughter, like you wouldn't leave these men around your daughter because they some rapists. And then he replied, yes, I have a daughter and the ability to protect her. Please come so I can have a reason to introduce you to it in Jesus' name. Nah, you think God's property is Kurt's 45?
Come on.
Make you want to curb stomp on a nigga.
Come over here if you want to.
Yeah.
It's gonna be in the name of Jesus. You take this two-piece.
Lay some hands on them. These hands.
Come on.
You can catch them.
Come on, for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Come on over here if you want to.
Think he won't let the chopper sing like he did the choir?
Oh, yeah! GP, are you with me? Yes, that's an old school Kirk Franklin.
Oh, man. Woo. The reason why the chopper sing.
Come on. Reason why the bullets fly.
Someone asked the question.
Why do I shoot? Cause you came on me on Twitter. What was I supposed to do? Some you may be wondering, is it just a show?
Is it just a show?
Bring your ass on down here.
Please let them bring.
And I will let you know.
I'ma let them know, Lord.
I shoot because you came.
I shoot because you came.
Yes, honey. Don't, child, please get out of here, honey. Honey, I know some old school old Franklin. Don't go there, honey. Mm-hmm. And put that shit to a beat, too.
Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus.
Right. Quiet and everything. Put robes on them while you take this ass whooping.
Now we know what that something was when he said something about the name Jesus.
Come on.
It must have been that chopper. It must have been what the something was. Oh, man.
Yes.
Mm-mm-mm. So yeah, he was ready to bust out, man.
Come on, play with him if you want to. Mm-hmm.
Come see me in the Lord's name.
Are you gonna put three on your one for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
They say wherever two or more are gathered, these hands will be there. Yes! Please come through.
Yes. If God be for you, who could be against you? No weapon formed against me shall prosper, but these bullets sure will hit your ass.
You can meet the Holy Spirit, and you can meet the Son right here. I got them both right here, and I'm going to be God in Jesus' name. Damn, kill a nigga in Jesus' name. All right, let's see what else happened. Snacks smugglers, beware. There's a theater in New York that's tired of people bringing food into the movies.
And not paying $55 for some popcorn and a drink.
So they warning culprits, you will be forced to eat in isolation. Mm-hmm. The name of the theater is Cinepolis.
What? I don't understand. Like, they gonna be like, you get your own private screening now because you just had to bring some food in? I don't understand.
It's a theater in Chelsea. And it says, you can leave your tote bags and your puffy jackets full of hidden snacks at home because there's a new sheriff in town. Moviegoers were reportedly searched, then sent to a corner with any contraband before being able to enter the theater. Wrongdoers were given their own timeout corner to eat what they could before the show. So you can eat your food, but you can't bring it in. So if you bring something with you, then you better eat it outside. Because once you come in, you got to leave that shit at the door. Most theaters don't allow snacks inside, but the Cinepolis Theater was reportedly harsh in the way they sent offenders on their own. Adam Schiff told the Post, clearly the owners want to punish moviegoers by forcing them to sit in an isolated area, even though patrons shell out $17.75 a ticket.
Come on, per person.
Mm-hmm. They have to wait to finish their snack. A Post reporter was ominously warned by a ticket taker to finish their hamburger on Friday. A spokeswoman for the theater said they weren't trying to simply snack shame. She said, our policy is,
what the fuck is it in?
If a guest comes in with a large bag, it's searched for safety reasons.
Mm-mm.
What's funny is the dude that shot at the theater, they don't ever be carrying a purse. You know what I mean? They just going through the purse looking for Skittles. Talking about, it's for your safety. Anyway, Skittles are $17.35 at the concession stand.
Right, and all you know is gonna happen. Your business is gonna tank. Cause people go, fuck, if I can't bring my food, I'm already paying fucking $20 a person to go, and I got to buy your expensive shit. I'm not coming to your movie theater no more.
If food is found during that search, guests are asked to finish the food outside the theater to bring it to their cars. What happens if you bring a gun?
And my thing is this. Them people y'all paying $7.50 an hour, y'all expect them to do all this?
That's who doing it.
Yeah. Right. The people who probably don't give a fuck about
doing it.
They're doing it now. I'm going to see how long this is going to last. Because, you know, everybody, the manager probably behind them keeping out. You know how it is when you first put policies on. But after a while, people going to be like, fuck it. I don't care enough. I don't care.
I just want to know what they do if they find a gun. Sir, you need to go to the corner and shoot all the people in the corner before you can come in the theater.
Right,
with the
all the people over there trying to get in here with the free food. That's what you shoot.
When the movie starts, you have to leave the gun outside so you can kill all the people you want to outside, but you cannot come inside and shoot nobody. I'm sorry, sir. In August, student Priscilla Banielos, 18, from Turlock, California, and her three friends cut open watermelons, stuffing their snacks inside, and then wore them under their skirts as baby bumps.
Watermelons. How the fuck you chop water? You make a board too, a cutting board?
Well, people have made a game out of, white people have made a game, out a mockery of, out of sneaking into the theater. They do stuff like pretend to be fat and have their friend like hug up on them and walk in, and they like, I snuck another person into the theater, you know, stuff like that.
Right. And
it's one of the reasons I think they're gravitating towards assigned seats, because so you just don't have to worry about this shit. Because if somebody show up and you in my motherfucking seat and I paid for that seat, you got to go home, boy. You know, like, it ain't nothing personal, but I will call the management and say, get this motherfucker out of my seat.
I will in a heartbeat.
I mean, I believe in a lot of things, but not that kind of immigration. Not into my seat. Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. It's a democracy.
I put up a wall.
All around the seat?
All around my seat. But, yeah, that's... I don't blame him. You know,
and the thing is, it is a cultural difference, because I think, yeah, one time, man, you went to the movie theaters and these white folks were lit. They bought a whole bottle of wine or something they bought beside us. They were drinking so much. They were like, y'all want some? We was like, nah.
They brought wine and cups.
They literally was like, boop. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, it was weird. It was at a screener too. Mm-hmm. Like, they go to all those, I guess. Speaking of food, Taco Bell's new naked chicken chalupa is their next big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Naked chicken chalupa. Mm-hmm.
I didn't know chicken had on clothes.
In Jesus' name. Ah! A taco is clothes, Karen.
Oh.
It's what? Clothes. It's burrito and taco clothes. You take that shell off, and then it gets sexy on you, Karen.
But then what the fuck? Okay, but I don't understand then. So what, you gonna hand me some chicken?
The idea is pretty simple. Take a piece of breaded fried chicken, fold it so that it doubles as a taco shell. Once it's shaped, the fried chicken shell is filled with shredded lettuce, diced tomatoes, shredded cheese, and an avocado ranch sauce.
Oh, they're trying to kill somebody.
Doesn't sound half bad. You get a taco, and you get fried chicken.
This day version of Double Down?
As soon as it launched, social media blew up and immediately took to posting photos of the new fast food item, a simple idea that's been making waves across the sea of likes. There's pictures of some. Mm-hmm.
I want your hands to get oily and greasy.
I mean, it comes with an actual, like, you can see there, it comes with a paper thing.
Oh, okay, because I'm looking like your hands would be so oily.
Well, you also don't eat three at a time, Karen. Just promotional pictures. But yeah, this is the newest innovation since the Doritos Loco Taco. So what do you think, Karen? You gonna try it?
Mm-mm, I didn't try Double Down either. Mm-mm, good.
I didn't try Double Down either, but I already tried this morning.
Did? How was it?
It was delicious. This is the best thing I eaten there for a while.
It was.
It got some kind of sauce on it, man. That shit good. I don't know what's in that sauce. Because I was just like trying it for the show. I was like, I'll eat some. If I don't like it, I'll tell the people on the show. Just like when I tried the Waparito and it was the nastiest fucking thing I ever eaten in my life. But it was good for the show.
Okay,
you know?
I said Waparito sounds disgusting.
But this shit was good. Like, I would order this again. You know what I mean? Okay. Like, it was different, you know, because it's the chicken breast, like, shell, but it's no different than like eating a chalupa or something with a thicker shell.
What's the texture like? Is it
it's like a chalupa, like with the bread kind of thicker than the other bread, but it's just chicken, you know what I'm saying?
I don't know if I've ever had that chalupa.
Oh, well, you're not a very adventurous Taco Bell eater. You only get the same thing every time we go.
Yep.
So you wouldn't understand. Mm-mm. But other people out there, it's like just a thicker crust. It's just like a chalupa or those non bread type, but it's chicken.
I know what non bread tastes like.
Yeah, but it's chicken.
Okay.
Well, anyway, it got some sauce in the middle. That shit was what set it off. They should just put that sauce on the other shit.
If I make it taste better.
I don't think any of that made it great or whatever. It's just that sauce was, I was like, what is, cause I was gonna put some hot sauce on it or whatever. Right. And I was like, it don't even need no sauce. Like, it come with pre-sauced. It's good. Starbucks promises to hire 10,000 refugees after a recent travel ban.
Well, I guess I'll be going to get me my expensive ass grande strawberry frappuccino and a piece of lemon cake and paying $10 then.
Mm-hmm.
That's about how much it costs you.
Howard Schultz, CEO of Starbucks, announced in a public statement that the company will hire 10,000 individuals in the 75 countries that Starbucks is located in.
Wonderful.
The act is a concerted effort to welcome and find job opportunities for those escaping war, violence, persecution, and discrimination. We're living in an unprecedented time, one in which we are witness to the conscience of our country and the promise of the American dream being called into question. These uncertain times call for different measures and communication tools that we have used in the past. If there is any lesson to be learned over the last year, it's that your voice and your vote matter more than ever. We are all obligated to ensure our elected officials hear from us individually and collectively. Dope, because you know corporations are people.
No, so they're not.
They can speak up.
No, they're not people.
Okay, apparently they're not people, according to Karen. Azealia Banks defends Donald Trump travel ban in a rant at Rihanna.
They're going at Riri. Riri the wrong way. Riri the type of person, she won't say nothing to you, but she be doing shit. You be like, I know she fuck with me.
After Rihanna Rihanna's outrage at President Donald Trump ordered to restrict immigration and travel from several Muslim countries set off Azealia Banks on Sunday. The rapper ignited on social media a feud with Rihanna while declaring her support for Trump's executive action. After Rihanna tweeted on Saturday that she, now keep in mind, she also volunteered to perform at the inauguration and did not get invited.
Of course.
She's such a professional troll. At any rate, she tried to set it out a few while declaring support for Trump. Rihanna tweeted on Saturday she was disgusted by the ban, calling Trump an immoral pig. Yeah, I mean, that's valid. Is there a debate about this? She said, disgusted, the news is devastating, America is being ruined right before our eyes. What an immoral pig you have to be to implement such bullshit, or BS, she put. But you know. Let me close that. So then Azealia Banks went on Instagram and said, as far as Rihanna, who isn't a citizen and can't vote, and all the rest of the celebrities who are using their influence to stir the public, you lot really, really need to shut up and sit down. Stop chastising the president. It's stupid and pathetic to watch. All of these confused people confuse other confused people. Hoping the president fails is like getting on an airplane and hoping the pilot crashes. What makes you think the USA is going to enter the Middle East, destroy a bunch of shit, and pull out without any real repercussions? 4 exclamation points. In a post that is no longer visible, Banks added that as an American who enjoys her safety and overall ability to maintain a certain level of ignorance as pertains to the world outside of our borders, I'm 100% shook about the open borders and would be really scared for myself and family if any parts of that war began to become real on this soil. Now, what's funny about this is, she's one of those people that adopted the culture of immigrants, even though she's not one, and was like talking, you know what I mean? Like, she's just such, she's a terrible person. I was gonna try to make sense of it, but
you can't. Yeah, you can't.
What a horrible, horrible, terrible, ain't shit ass person. Just, you're whack. At any rate, Rihanna did respond.
What did we say?
Yeah, bad girl Riri on Instagram. She put a picture of herself up, and said, the face you make when you as an immigrant ask, stay away from the chickens, hashtag I heart nuggets.
Yes, I love the shade.
Oh, wait, hold on, I'm sorry. The face you make when you are immigrant and it says BB and it says hashtag stay away from the chickens, hashtag I heart nuggets, hashtag save our hens. Cause remember she killed them chickens in the closet, as Azealia Banks. Yeah, she sacrificed them chickens. Oh man, she the best.
Ain't she though?
Won't even say your name.
Mm-mm. Meanwhile on Instagram. Yippee-ki-yay.
Oh man. So yeah, she went in, and then of course, not to be outdone, her fans.
Not to be outdone.
The Rihanna Navy had to get involved. Come on. Because, you know, They don't play that shit either. Mm-mm. So they started posting pictures and memes of Azalea Banks, and I mean, they went to town, to be honest with you. I know they did. It really was a fail.
They is ruthless. You know, people think the Beehive bad.
Damn shame what they did to that dog.
Damn shame.
Immigrant at Sin for Re posted a picture of Azalea Banks where she clearly had an unfortunate hair follicle situation, and it said, "I would say Re snatched Azalea's edges, but there isn't much to snatch."
Oh.
Yeah. So I posted a picture of Wendy Williams. Azalea Banks really trying to shade Rihanna when Rihanna's legs have more net worth than her whole discography. Tragic. Oh man, they had an original response that Azalea Banks said, "No, this is all stupid and wrong," after Rihanna had called Trump immoral pig. Is she even American? Can she even vote? We started a war. We have to finish or else it will finish us. Trump is simply finishing the job, not because he wants to, but because he has to. If we don't, terror will spread through Turkey and into America. We fucked up big time. We need to very ungraciously end this war and just deal with the new blood on our hands. All great empires fall, as will this one, but for now, we're just getting started. We are set to take over the world, take over and control the entire planet as we will. Our failure is not now. And of course, that was when she said to leave the chickens alone. Someone said, "Today's lit as fuck. Play soccer on a dirt field with the most beautiful kids." Oh, that's Rihanna. "Play soccer on the field with the most beautiful kids. Machingi, North Malawi. Hashtag CLF. Hashtag GC. Hashtag GPE. Okay. Oh, it's a video. Well, I mean, if she gonna put the video up, I got to watch. I got to see. I mean, it is Rihanna. Let's just see what she got going on. I don't know what exactly she would be doing. She might just be soccer, but it's Rihanna. Yes, 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 yes. Oh, she was out there playing soccer with no bra on. I see you, girl. Mm-hmm. Azalea Banks says what Rihanna meant was, "I grew up playing soccer in a dirt yard with a coconut and open my legs for any and every motherfucker who I think I can get to write me songs or buy me drugs. I can barely perform because I line my brown blunts with crystal meth and I'm often very winded on stage." So, and then Rihanna put a picture of a flag over somebody's head and put "the face you make when you scream it in an empty room." Rihanna changed her ivy to the text she got from Azalea, "I'm screaming." And the text is, "I don't have to do anything to you, miss. Beyonce is already working heavy on you. Ever think to stop and think that's why you have a drug and sex addiction? LOL, girly, best of luck." Rihanna made her avatar that text. Oh my God.
That's what you do.
Oh, she's so fucking. She's amazing.
That's what you do.
Another text says, "Girl, grow the fuck up. You're a fucking weirdo. You still pressed about Reese scrapping you from the album. You and your battery shaped nipples could go to hell. You're sitting here without a career or a record deal with a hairy ass pussy. You bleach your skin because you want to be Beyonce, but you will never prevail. You are an F-list celebrity. Give it up, delicious." What? Who? I don't even know who said. Am I speaking to a rat? Who is texting this? Oh, she must have had her number out there. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's why she put her number out there, so the fans started texting her. Oh, bitch, you getting lit up. I'm about to start swinging. Okay, I'm not gonna lie, heavy metal and reflective or whatever that shit was called was tight as fuck, but you done messed with the wrong bitch. Square up. Oh man. And then Azalea Banks put Rihanna's number on Instagram and then deleted it. Oh man, Azalea got the nerve to send Rihanna best of luck like her career ain't the one on a chokehold.
Oh no. know. I don't agree with her putting a number out there, but I don't know.
So Azalea is sitting on her floor mattress refreshing Reed's Instagram every 5 seconds. If you say Azalea Banks 3 times in the mill, she'll appear and start an argument with you.
That was good. That was real good. I'm sorry. That was good.
Oh, when will people learn not to come for Rihanna? We will drag you by the hair directly to hell while her nail polish is still drying. Azalea Banks always trending on Twitter, and it's never about her music.
Ever.
It's the truth.
I didn't, you know, initially I didn't know she made music, y'all. I'm gonna keep this real.
Someone said Azalea has nothing to lose and is still losing. Rihanna setting Azalea Banks' number as her icon with then changing it to a kiss is the level of petty I strive for. So it was, okay, so it was her phone number for a little bit. Then Rihanna changed it to her face, blowing a kiss. Azalea Banks better be glad she's dealing with the grown, humble 2017 Rihanna and not the I don't give a fuck 2012 Rihanna. Stans, don't never change. y'all really are the best, man. Y'all bring me joy in this world.
They are something else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, because she had to say some shit about somebody that's doing way better than her.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's not what she does. She don't ever, well.
Talking to your mic.
Oh.
Go ahead.
I'm listening. Yeah, because with her, it's just one of those things where it's like, she just wants to pick a fight. Like, it don't matter who you are. Famous, non-famous. She just picks fights.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, still ain't heard none of her music. Been years now.
Oh,
I feel like I've been covering her drama for years, and I still ain't never been inclined to click play on none of them albums.
I don't know if this is your promotion, but
how's it helping?
I don't know. I think you may have played like a snippet or something like that.
A long time ago. I haven't hit anything on play since then.
Mm-mm. I know nothing about her.
Well, some people can't help themselves.
Nope. But for some people, that's just her thing. Like literally, that's how you stay relevant.
Twinkies ice cream is now on grocery store shelves.
I wonder how that tastes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's only one way to find out. But yeah, they got Twinkies ice cream. It's in snowball flavor, regular Twinkie flavor.
Snowball.
Yeah, the pink snowballs on the inside. Okay. Got chocolate and stuff. So yeah, it got different flavors or whatever. So if you guys are
into Twinkies,
I don't know if I was into. I don't think I'm into Twinkies like
I'm
that.
I'm not.
Like maybe they had them like Swiss Miss things or whatever. Them
I do that, but I don't do no swirls. Twinkies. I ain't Twinkies. I feel like I'm in a sponge.
I'm not Swiss Miss. Swiss rolls. If they had Swiss rolls, maybe then. I like those when I was a kid.
A lot of people love Twinkies, but that ain't my thing.
There's a robotic barista that is now serving really fast. So. Hurry up with them 10,000 jobs, Starbucks. Apparently, this robo barista can make like, 120 drinks in an hour? 120 coffee drinks an hour. It says for about a year, there's a firm that built a toll booth size Cafe X with a sleek industrial design. The automated cafe offers 7 drinks like espresso and cafe latte for $2.25 to $2.95 for an 8-ounce cup. And the app allows for mobile orders. A quick sample of drinks, each flavored with hazelnut, caramel, or vanilla, can attest to the quality. The robotic arm moved the cup between several stations, from beans freshly ground to the pouring of the coffee. 3 nearby order stands offer basic options, drink, flavor, and intensity of flavor. After customers enter the mobile number to get a four digit code and pay, they are texted when the drink is ready. The process typically takes a few minutes. The robot has been programmed to toss a drink and make another if necessary.
So come get your shit,
I guess. If you're late or something, I don't know.
Right. It's like, look, I'm programmed to move quickly. You fucking around, that's on you. And if your order wrong, that's on you too. Who you gonna scream at when the robot fuck your order up? They gonna be like, nope, this is what you programmed me to do. That's what it did.
The Cafe X is part of a growing fleet of robots designed to serve the public and service industries such as food delivery, retail, call centers, and education. Robotics' rapid leap out of the R&D lab and into our homes and stores has come at an awkward time for the industry, coinciding with an election won partially on Trump's promise to enforce a renaissance in U.S. manufacturing jobs.
Which ain't coming back. Silly people.
Yep. People gonna miss being able to fuss at the barista. Y'all gonna miss the days of them getting your name wrong.
Come on.
And then we go enjoy that robot coffee. And then at the same time, complain that people ain't got jobs. That's just what we do.
Correct.
I'm gonna go to the robo teller. Also, why they ain't hiring more people at Starbucks?
Other than the IT guy.
I don't understand this country. Cal Penn is raising money for Syrian refugees in the name of a racist internet troll.
Who is a Cal Penn?
Cal Penn is a star of Harold and Kumar. He was not Harold, the Asian dude. He was Kumar.
Okay, I know who he is.
He's raising tens of thousands of dollars for Syrian refugees in the name of an internet troll who attacked him on social media. The Indian American actor, who served as an aide in the Obama administration, was subjected to racist abuse on Instagram after posting about President Trump's abhorrent executive order banning travelers from 7 Muslim majority countries from entering the United States. Families are being torn apart. Shame on us, wrote Penn. What Donald Trump and the Republican Party are doing is wholly un-American. A short time later, he received a message telling him, "You don't belong in this country, you fucking joke." Muhammad, the Iraqi refugee who has a ridiculous story of getting here, had his dad coming to visit. Homie was turned away from his flight from Qatar to LAX when he was informed all visas for Iraqis had been canceled by Trump. This dude did so much for our country and he's getting fucked by us left and right. This is the same homie whose wife was beat up in Trader Joe's parking lot in Long Beach for wearing a hijab. And so that's the photo, of a text. And so then his caption was, "My friend Mike just sent this heartbreaking text about his refugee friend. Families are being torn apart. Shame on us. This is un-American. What Donald Trump and the Republican Party are doing is wholly un-American," right? So the troll sent him a message or whatever, and rather than responding kind, Penn opted to take the high road. "To the dude who said I don't belong in America, I started a fundraiser page for Syrian refugees in your name," he posted. and he put a clickable link in my profile if you would like to donate. Crowdrise.com, donating to Syrian refugees in the name of the dude who said I don't belong in America. Fundraiser Cal Penn. Penn set his initial fundraiser goal at $2,500. At the time of publication, roughly 6 hours in, he has brought in over $83,000.
That's what I'm talking about.
All money will be donated to the International Rescue Committee. To donate a few bucks to yourself, you can click on the link.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that's one way to handle a troll. Mm-hmm. You got the eyes of the world on you. You know, use that shit.
Yep.
somebody made a remix of that song. Well, you remember the video we played Saturday, that "Catch Me Outside, How About That?" So somebody, just like the Beans Greens, somebody made a remix to "Catch Me Outside." Okay. And it's everything.
All right, I'm ready.
I'm putting it in the chat.
I think I'm ready.
So you can see it in the chat. So let me play.
"I'm gonna get you, bitch, and I'm gonna get you when you least expect it.
How about that? How about that? How about that?
Yo. Sweet, the remix good.
How about that? How about that? How about that? How about that? Catch me outside.
So the audience are a bunch of hoes.
Yup.
What does that mean?
What I just said.
What does that mean?
What I just said.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
What I just said.
Sit down.
Catch me outside. How about that? How about that?
I can't do this video.
How about that? How about that? Catch me outside. How about
that? I'm gonna.
So yeah, I love it. It's not as good as Bean Green's to me, you know, but I do like that. I knew somebody was gonna remix that shit. As soon as I heard, I was like, who gonna put the trap beat under this? Who gonna edit this together? And I'm glad they did. Barack Obama praises protesters in his first official statement since leaving the White House. Mm-hmm. Yep. So.
Yeah, he ain't the president. He's always my president. Mm-hmm. But he ain't the president of everybody anymore, so he can come out and speak about it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not surprised, mm-hmm. You know. People, it's funny though, I saw people being like, him and Hillary, they need to come out and say something. Their silence is, I'm like, you didn't pick them.
Right. What else is there? Been doing for 2 years prior to the election?
He told you in every fucking campaign speech for Hillary Clinton what it was. Democracy's on the ballot. You know, it was a guy who fundamentally believes in the highest office in the land and the ability for people to come together and create the change that they want to see. It's that dude versus a guy who's treating the presidency as a dictatorship. I mean.
Right. And I think for me, he's not obligated to say anything because honestly, he done done his job.
Yeah, him and Hillary. I wouldn't say shit.
Especially Hillary Clinton. I wouldn't say a motherfucking thing about Hillary Clinton because y'all didn't vote for me. Fuck y'all.
Yeah. That's how I know.
What I got to say? Nothing.
Yeah, that's how I know that Obama's better than me because.
I want to see it shit.
If I was President Obama, I'd be like, man, this is what y'all wanted, dog. Y'all said y'all wanted it, right? I mean, most of these people that are complaining about him not saying nothing are the same people that shitted on him for 8 years anyway. Now, why you want him to speak now?
Yeah.
You want to come back and save you? Like, you fucking thought that the way he governed was terrible. So, welcome to the new dude. You know what I mean? But, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Have protests in March in less than 9 days in office.
Yeah, yeah. He basically said, yep, I support them people marching. Good job, everybody.
And going back on vacation. Don't say nothing else.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's get into some fucking with black people, everybody. Where's my fucking with black people music, by the way? How about that? Take your time, Spotify. There you go. Just fucking with the black people. We're just fucking with the blacks. We're just fucking with black people. That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game we go all around the globe. We find different articles that make us feel fucked with, and we go ahead and score those bad boys. From 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. That's right. Everybody is up for play. Alright, here we go. The first article is about weed, Karen.
Okay? What about it?
Alright. Apparently, Dr. Wesley Muhammad says that weed is bad for us as making black men gay.
Hotep dude.
He's like a Muslim preacher. Like, why is this playing like this? This is weird. Oh, now I gotta close this. Provera. Let me try playing the video from here. Sorry, just started acting stupid for some reason. Is it auto playing? Anyway, is Dr. Wesley Muhammad is one of Minister Farrakhan's most trusted associates, and he just delivered a speech on the effects of government-issued marijuana. Because, you know, apparently the government-issued marijuana is a little bit different than, I guess, regular marijuana. So we end up with these situations here where you can be turned gay from smoking marijuana, according to him.
That's not true.
Well, I'm assuming he's a doctor, Dr. Wesley Muhammad. So,
did he name himself, or is he a real doctor from an accredited university?
I don't know how he got his doctor handle exactly. I don't know if if it was the rabbit that you draw.
The Hoteps told me that you could actually make your own name up.
I don't know if it was the rabbit that you draw on the back of the brochure and you mail it in and you get the arts degree type doctor. I don't know if it's the DeVry doctorship program. I'm not sure. It's like a pickup artist course where you graduate, you become a doctor of love. I don't know if it's like Dr. Dre, you know, and I don't just mean the dude from The Chronic, but also Dr. Dre used to hang out with Ed Lover and nobody ever talks about him anymore. I don't know what kind of doctor he is exactly, but he's called Dr. Wesley Muhammad. So, and yeah, he wanted to let us know that the government is after us. The title of this is, looks like Star Wars, and it says, We the Gods.
Yeah, sound like he on some Hotep shit.
Why are you stealing from George Lucas the white man's lettering, though? I'm just saying.
Come on.
The Depo Provera that our government targeted you and I with actually induces, chemically induces homosexuality. In men. Do you follow? Now.
No, I do not follow.
Many drugs, they say, besides these anti-androgens, such as Depo-Provera, many drugs, such drugs, appear to at least partially divert or block masculinization of the nervous system during neural organization. Many drugs besides these have a partial demasculizing effect. The list.
I don't know if demasculizing is a word.
It is not, sir.
Okay. All right.
This includes barbiturates, which are drug, yada yada, yada yada.
How you on yada yada when you was breaking down them big ass science words? That might be important.
Yada yada, marijuana. Your weed family is subtly, partially feminizing you. We have documented. See how quiet it is?
Because everybody should be shaking their heads. I hope it was quiet because it's really hard to say anything when your head is in your hands and you are just looking down,
lost
thinking,
words.
What kind of decision did I make to come in here today? Shouldn't we be talking about the ban on the immigration today? Nope. Okay.
Right.
How about we?
Right. It's quick as over there, too.
See how quiet it is? What? You want to get up and walk out on me like the LGBT walked out on the Honorable Mention Louis Farrakhan in Long Beach? That's what you want to do?
They stood up and clapped for that.
Ballin'. And he probably said that because some folks got their ass up and they walked the fuck out because they're like, this motherfucker is crazy.
Yeah, he's spitting that bigotry, talking about gay people and shit, and people get up and walk out. And a lot of people, even though their religion is about bringing people to God, they really take pride in running people out of their churches.
Okay.
Okay. Well, if you don't now, I'm gonna work hard to make you. We have documented that the enhanced weed. Now look, in this confession, marijuana is identified by the conspirators as an anti-androgen drug.
What the fuck is
that? That assaults, that blocks the development of masculinity. We have documented that.
It's documented, Karen.
What studies have been done?
That hit the streets.
On what college?
Karen, he has a screenshot that has several highlights on it. This is evidence.
From what university?
University of Hard Knocks.
Came through CIA laboratories and passed first through the hands of CIA assets before you were ever able to light it up yourself. We have also documented that not only.
Now, how do they know which ones? If it's government weed, how do they know which one is going to the black people and which one's not going to the black people?
I don't know. It all looks the same to me. I don't know.
And then, like, are black people all getting prescriptions for weed? Did we stop? Is the weed dealer out of business in the black community?
He's not.
I'm just wondering.
Does this now popular government touch weed.
Now see, that's why you need to get your weed from me. Okay, I'm gonna be out back. All right, I'm selling 20s, nicks, and dimes in the name of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Let me know what's up. Get at your boy. All right, and if you got some Christian friends, bring them around back too. Long day, money spend. Just holler at your boy, Dr. Wesley. I'll be in the parking lot opening the trunk.
With this increased THC content, not only does it diminish.
It just made me think about David Wayne's like, increased THC content, excuse me, TLC content. Okay.
Does he even know what that means?
Because I ain't too proud to beg. Okay.
Oh, Lord.
In this executive cognitive function. Yeah, bruh. You pretty functional when you lift it. That is true. You can go to work, and if the job ain't too complex, you can do a reasonably good job at it. We don't mess with nigga stuff.
With nigga stuff. Okay. Oh, okay. Didn't know you could say that in church. I might have to start going.
Didn't know a doctor could do that in a speech in front of people.
Yeah.
There are doctors say niggas, but they normally don't say it in the speech like this. Not unless they actually talking about slaves and them being called Negroes and niggas.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he makes some good points is what I'm saying, Karen. I mean, we it's funny, you know, we laughing, but it's also, you know, very accurate too. I got another speech of his, that he had too, that was in my opinion especially informative as well. Let me see if I can play this sermon.
You say so.
Man, you guys ain't had no waffles like these. These waffles are so good. They like they come from down south. These buttery motherfuckers are melting your mouth, man. You ain't had no
waffles. Wait. Go on, what did you just say? You said melt in your mouth. Quick! What else melts in your mouth?
M&M!
Exactly. And not in your hands. And who makes M&M's?
The white man.
Oh, Dick. Mars Candy Company makes it. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
those white
Mars
men. Candy.
Mars is also the Roman god of war.
That's what I'm talking about.
Who is the Greek god of war?
Ares.
Ah. Now, you take Mars and spell it backwards. Drop the S.
What's that? Ram. That's right. And Ram is the astrological sign for Ares.
Right.
Oh, now then. Right. Ares' half-sister is Athena.
Now you get it.
Whoa.
Athena?
Athens. Which is the capital of Greece.
And as we all know, zodiacal astronomy was created by the Greeks in
785 BC.
And 785 is the area code of Topeka. Oh my God. 785 is the area code to Topeka, Kansas.
Cold Kansas.
Now you take that, spell it backwards, drop the S.
Snake. Snake doctor. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And brothers, who is the Greek demigod of medicine who believed that snakes' tongues had mystical healing powers?
Asclepius, of course. He had a staff with snakes intertwining all around that bitch. They call it Asclepius' staff. It's a symbol the medical field uses to this day.
I've seen it.
Now, what legend involving snakes is in both Greek and Roman mythology? Come on. It involves Asclepius' own father,
Apollo.
Yeah, thanks, lady.
That's right. Apollo slew the serpent at Delphi, which was a big-ass snake.
That's right. And what, brothers, is the biggest snake in the world?
The South American anaconda.
What she said?
Anaconda malt liquor.
And what is the slogan for anaconda malt liquor? Anaconda malt liquor gives you...
Woo!
Gives you what?
Woo!
And who else is famous for?
Little Richard. Who? Little Richard.
So, what they really saying is,
Anaconda malt liquor gives you
Little Richard. What is another word for Richard?
Exactly. Exactly. 0 to 100, Karen.
100. That shit don't make no sense.
Yeah. The government weed.
And people listening to him.
Trying to make y'all gay. Yeah, I gotta give it. I gotta give it 100, dog. I'm sorry. Mm-mm. We need a little more proof than the screenshot, mm-mm, dog.
There's a lot of people that smoke that and they ain't nowhere near gay.
I'm gonna need a little bit more proof. Then,
so if you already gay, does it make it straight? I mean, is it reverse? Does it make it, does it make you extra gay?
Does it make lesbian women want to have sex with dudes? Like, what is the rules?
I don't know.
I don't understand what the rules are.
I don't know. So if you're already gay, do you start like glowing and the colors of the gay pride flag?
I mean, is being gay just the absence of testosterone? Is that scientifically proven?
I don't
gay men don't produce testosterone. Is that what we're saying?
They do.
Are we saying we scientifically test gay men, we will come back with less testosterone than straight men? I feel like there's a lot of leaps and bounds being made here. A lot of leaps. ESPN host Sage Steele apparently was criticized for complaining about the Trump airport protest.
And who was the Sage Steele?
We talked about her before when she talked about Kaepernick. No, she talked about players kneeling for in Miami for the national anthem and how un-American it was.
Oh, that chick on Twitter.
And then, yeah, and then she mm-hmm. wrote a long ass piece about how brave her white family members and white husband were for loving her black ass and stuff like that. So apparently she was headed to, you know, Super Bowl, whatever, when people shut down the airport. And she got pretty mad about it. She hopped on Instagram to vent her frustration at the crowd, saying she was sad so many protesters were happy with the disruption they were causing. She said, so this is why thousands of us dragged luggage for nearly 2 miles to get to LAX, but still missed our flights. Fortunately, a 7-hour wait for the next flight to Houston won't affect me that much, but my heart sank for the elderly and parents with small children who did their best to walk all that way but had no chance to make their flights. I love witnessing people exercise their right to protest. No, you don't. The 2 times that you talked about it, you said how fucked up it was.
Right.
When you talked about how great it was. But it saddened me to see the joy on their faces knowing they were successful in disrupting so many people's travel plans. Yes, immigrants were affected by this as well. Brilliant us. One of the things that's interesting, and it's gonna be interesting if and when ESPN decides to do something about this shit, they don't really like when there are people talk about politics. And everybody else seems to fall in line with that rule of, all right, y'all don't want us talking about this shit, so we're not gonna talk about this shit. But she just be out here wilding. Like, I do what the fuck I want to do with her, like, fake ass white privilege. She didn't respond to a request to comment, of course. Predictably, the post led to criticism on social media. Several sports reporters and television anchors joining the fray, questioning her comments. Longtime Sports Illustrated writer, NFL Network analyst Michael Silver was among the critics, telling Steele he had tremendous respect for her, but in terms of the protest, sometimes standing up for what's right provokes inconvenience and all. One thing that's going to be interesting about the backlash this time, last time you was talking about something that really only black people cared about.
Right.
And most white people were either indifferent to or just flat out against the black athletes that were, you know, kneeling for the national anthem.
But this was shit that impacted them. That's why so many people showed up and protested.
Mm-hmm. But now white people care about this. I don't know if it impacts them or not. I just know they care about it. Mm-hmm. I can't even say it necessarily impacts them. But some of it
do, not everybody.
Yeah, a lot of those people just showed up because they don't fuck with Trump and they care and they galvanize and they're angry.
Right.
So it won't go unchecked as much as last time, probably, and by people you respect. Sage still responded to Mike Silver. All good, not the first time we disagree. But the crazy thing is we could talk about it like adults and agree to disagree, and then with an American flag. And yeah, I'll say this, probably not a surprise. She's surprised. She replied to the white dude.
And ignored all the brown people that was probably telling her she was wrong. All the brown people.
There was a sister that responded though. Taylor Rooks said, "Hey Sage, with all due respect, what types of protests do you prefer? The disruption is the point of the protest."
Right.
She responded to their sister, "Has nothing to do with what I prefer. Comical to see the process used to determine when it's okay to disrupt. It wasn't."
Well, then it's never okay. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, what do I prefer? What, this is absolutely about what you prefer.
Right, because you're the one that you're talking about it.
You keep telling people what to do. Oh, kneeling at the flag, that's un-American and terrible. That's not the right time.
Even though you ain't bothering nobody, it didn't conflict with anybody's plane schedule, didn't bother nobody's flight. You literally kneeled and people lost their motherfucking minds.
Yeah, disrupting the airport. Not the right time. Wrong kind of, when is it okay?
It's never okay.
When you don't,
I wish people would just say that.
When you don't have a flight to catch. It's a lot of people that think that they are on the side of the civil rights movement that wouldn't have been you're only on that side because it didn't happen at the time you're alive.
Right.
And you would have been complaining about why these niggas can't catch the bus.
Right. Why don't they sit at the back of the bus and be motherfucking happy?
Why they had to have another sit-in? I wanted a sandwich from the back of Woolworths. Jesus, I hate these niggas.
Come on.
Julie Stewart Binks said, "I understand the inconvenience of missing a flight, etc. But why people are protesting for inhumane regulations is much bigger than that." And then she replied, "Reread it, Julie. It's about so much more, including them affecting the exact people for whom they're protesting. Doesn't make sense."
No, the people that they're protesting they didn't get a chance to get on the flight to get there. You're here. They're out in other countries and can't get back. It's not the same.
Yep. Not to mention many of your people that literally host shows on ESPN, they're affected by this and they have, like, Dan Le Batard, you know, his father came to this country, you know, immigrated to this country.
Right.
Pedro Gomez says, "Bye-bye, when your parents come here to avoid communism and your wife's parents immigrated, you're going to follow this stuff." Because somebody told him he wasn't talking about politics. He was talking too much about politics. "Say, we like to believe we live inside a sports bubble. Reality is we live here on this planet. We're all citizens."
Come on.
Anyway, Sage Steele. 0 to 100, Karen?
Oh, 100, because every time she opens up her mouth and kind of walks outside of sports, it's always an issue.
You want to know what's amazing about her? And this is one of the things people don't talk about. I don't care that she doesn't talk about sports or whatever, right? I just think it's interesting when you choose to open your mouth.
Right.
You know, it's when it's Black Lives Matter, crickets.
Quiet.
When somebody gets shot in the street, it's nothing. But whenever, you know, a protest happens, then it's, why are y'all talking about this? You know, she's a woman, you know, that's probably been coveted in a lot of ways by whiteness too. Like, it's easy for her to say, you know, it's like the Selma Hayek shit we talked about yesterday. Like, yeah, easy for you to say because it ain't that difficult. You know what I mean? Like you're just taking the fact that white folks like you and then praising them for liking you, being decent people, as if it's some type of fucking, like, feat to like your black ass. Like, it's amazing. Whatever, dog. She gonna look in the mirror one day and be like, "Oops, been on the wrong side of this all this time."
Right.
Decades later, Emmett Till's accuser admits that she lied. Seems like a Trump administration is a perfect time to bring this up.
Yep.
Now, what's fucked up is a white dude's writing a book, and he interviewed her, and she's still alive, by the way. And three years.
I don't know why I thought she was dead. Maybe because I hadn't heard anything from her.
I mean, it happened in 1955. I can understand.
I just made that assumption. My bad, y'all.
No, she was 21 in 1955 and claimed that he whistled at her and grabbed her hand and tried to come on to her, asking her for a date. Well, she later revealed that in her testimony, not, you know, at the time. 4 days after the encounter, her husband and his half brother, John William J.W. Millam, killed Till, beat and shot him to death, leaving his body terribly disfigured. The two men were arrested and charged, however, with the help of an all-white, all-male jury. They were acquitted. Decades later, the woman behind the murder that helped to drive the civil rights movement admitted to exaggerating the story that led to the mutilation of Till's body. Now, one of the things is Till was known to talk with a lisp. So it's quite possible motherfucker wasn't even paying attention to her.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just walking down the street, and she was like, he whistled at me. How dare he? As a white woman, I am victimized, and y'all need to kill him.
Come on.
Nothing that boy did could ever justify what happened to him. Carolyn Bryant Donham is quoted saying in Blood or Emmett Till by Timothy Tyson, who I believe is a white dude, who is now making money off of it.
Mm-hmm. Yep, white people are always making money off of black pain, but black people can't make money off of their own pain.
Yep, he is a white man. All right.
Yeah, we tell our stories. Most of the time, people don't want to support that shit. Y'all, white people tell our stories. You throw all the money at them, even though a lot of times, now if they truly, really care, that's a different thing. But a lot of times, the stories are whitewashed and they're told from a white perspective to make white people feel comfortable.
For years after the trial, Bryant went into hiding. She divorced, and remarried again without ever giving an interview on what really happened August 24th at the store in Mississippi. However, in 2007, things changed when the 72-year-old agreed to speak with Tyson. In a conversation with Tyson, she confessed to fabricating the main part of her testimony. That's not true, Bryant said, referring to a claim that Till tried to come on to her with verbal and physical advances. In regards to what else really happened in the store in 1955, she said she couldn't remember, but she did say she felt tender sorrow for Till's mother, Mamie Till Mobley, who died in 2003. Always knowing the truth, but never knowing this woman would admit it. Bryant, now 82, is retreated back to seclusion, and her whereabouts have been kept a secret. Yeah, and the article that they originally had was a whole lot of, like, poor her. You know what I mean? Like, oh, her life has been ruined by this one moment, and she's had to live in seclusion. Her family has had to help her, and she had to raise her boys, you know, away from everybody and all this shit.
Nope, don't care.
Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where I think black people have always known that shit was a lie. You know, if you would have taken a poll, people would have been like, she probably fucking lied. And it's one of the reasons that white women have been complicit in white supremacy as well. But,
yep.
You know, people feel like because we share some level of oppression with white women, then you can't bring nothing up. They must be all good. But it's not always true, you know.
No, it's not.
At any rate, 0 to 100.
Oh yeah, she gets a 100 because the only reason why we're hearing about it now is because a white man is writing a book to make money off of black death, and not one time did you apologize to this family. This woman lost her child. Like his death shook the nation. You know, his mama had to do an open casket funeral just for people to realize that shit was real based off of your lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things to where my opinion, I don't think she has any empathy or sympathy for quote unquote what she did. I think put like this, her sorry is coming A, after the mother died. So now at one period of time, you go back to this child's mother and apologize for your act. Now, one time did you apologize to the family about your acts or to the black community about your acts? Now, one period of time, the people that committed the crime were never punished. And I think that this right here and her coming out now under Trump's administration speaks volume, because she came out before. I'm pretty sure it would have been investigated, but I investigate her.
Yeah, I mean, the case. She said it, you know, a while ago. She said it a while ago. The fact that this is now being like unveiled, it's part of just that protection of that white womanhood, right? Because like, you don't say this under Eric Holder. Right? Like, you don't say this then. Mm-hmm. Like, you say this when you get an AG that just ain't gonna give a fuck. When you get a cut, cause this is one of those, like, I'm pretty sure, yeah, one of the things before Obama got out of office that they passed was the fact that these racial cases, these old cases, they pass a law where you can investigate them forever. Like, and you're gonna watch Trump and them not do a goddamn thing.
No, because black death overall does not matter to this country. This child is in history books because of your life, sweetie. You got to go on with your life. You got to have children. You know, you got to live a normal life in seclusion, away from reality. and really literally not have to deal with any consequences to your actions. You left a family in turmoil. You left a family that probably still gets harassed till today. You have a family who wouldn't surprise me if people still harass them about their about this child, which means you got second and third generation of family members who probably still have to deal with people harassing them about this, because it was such a huge thing in our history. And yet, you know, all you're going to give them is a motherfucking my bad, or I didn't mean to, or if I offended you, fucking apology. This is not a true apology.
Yeah, you feel sorrow.
Sorrow.
You feel sorrow for his mother. But you ain't show no contrition. Ain't never stop you from living your life one day. You know what I mean? Like, it never stop you from moving on. Like, you were allowed to move on from this and be protected because essentially you're a white woman.
Right. And then people wonder why black people are like, I don't trust you. You know, then you wonder why you do marches and people are like, I'm not participating.
Yeah, I can't trust you because I don't, I mean, you got family members. Because it's not just her at this point. It's every family member that ever hit her. You know, it's everybody that ever knew the truth and thought, well, I don't want to see Aunt so-and-so get in trouble. I don't want to see, you know, because essentially these people have loved you. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of that thing with Sage Steele and Tamir or Maori or whatever, and countless brothers and shit. Like, I don't know. I don't have the wherewithal to really, like, look beyond people's bigotry and say they can still be a good person. I don't have the wherewithal to say, you know, oh yeah, my husband voted for Trump, but you know, he works at Fox News, but he's not a bad guy. I still, you know, I love him, and we see past that, and we want to show people we can disagree and we can still be married to each other and shit like that. I don't have it in me, but at the same time, a Trump supporter's never made me come. So I don't know if that, like, might, maybe that's the secret ingredient to everybody just being so fucking open-minded sometimes, where it's just like, well, you know what? When that motherfucker is like blowing my back out, it's totally different for me. You know, when that motherfucker is, you know, my grandma, my granddad, and they give me Christmas presents, it's hard for me to say, and you also killed a black kid because you lied. You know, maybe that's what I can't relate to. You know what I mean? Cause I've just never been or loved or had somebody treat me a certain way that has had these heinous ass, you know, points of view and stuff. And I'm fortunate that way, I guess, to not have had to deal with that or make these choices. I have a pretty liberal family, a pretty open family and shit. But yeah, it's some of this shit you're just like, all y'all motherfuckers are complicit. And then you wonder why people don't trust you. It's like, how can I trust you? If this was your aunt, you would protect her. Cause you think that's the right thing to do, rather than to say, well, the police should know about this. You know, you should face trial for this. You owe a debt to fucking society for this horrible crime that you essentially encouraged, you know?
Right. And you know, when you go back and you really think about it, because it's racial, you know, a lot of people try to claim it's not racial, but it's racial. Let's play it reverse. If it was a white child that got beat to death by, you know, two black men, A, they would have been convicted, and B, they would have demanded that you found that woman. You wouldn't have been able to hide. You wouldn't have been able to live on with your life. They'd have hunted you down and made sure you were prosecuted to the extent of the law.
Yeah, you got to live a full life.
A full life, dog.
And still living a full life, you know?
Because nothing's going to happen to you, baby.
Even after this admission. I mean, this person didn't bring it up till 2017, just in time to promote his book. Anyway, 100 for me.
Yeah, I don't fuck ass book. I'm not going to buy that bullshit.
Emboldened by Trump, some police unions seek to overhaul Obama's reforms.
No shit.
Yeah, you know the reforms when people say Obama never did anything, that he don't care, da, 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 you know that shit. Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, he did some things. And some of this stuff is about to, you know, these police feel like now's the time to strike to get these things taken back. Steve Loomis, president of the Cleveland Police Patrolmen's Association, had a blunt message for Donald Trump during a meeting in September. Court ordered reforms aimed at curbing police abuses in the Midwestern city are not working. Loomis and two other attendees said Trump seemed receptive to Loomis's concerns that federally monitored police reforms introduced during the Obama administration in some cities in response to complaints of police bias and abuse are ineffective and impose an onerous burden on police forces. Trump, Loomis said, was taken aback by the waste of money. Waste of money, guys. When the union chief told him that the federal monitors overseeing his city's police department earned $250 an hour, a standard salary for the position. I think he's going to have a more sensible approach to rising crime rates, Loomis said. It don't even matter. That's not true. That's right. I forgot. Post fact. What I got from
We have some of the lowest crime rates in the country right now.
Yeah, I forgot it don't matter. Mm-hmm. What I got from the meeting was that Donald Trump is going to be a very strong supporter of law and order. If anybody old enough to remember, law and order is a calling card for just over policing, brutality,
let's take it back to Reagan.
Corrupt police, that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. Emboldened by Trump's election, some of the county's biggest police groups want to renegotiate consent decrees agreed to under President Barack Obama, the police labor group said in interviews. Consent decrees are agreements between a police force and the Justice Department that can prescribe changes to the use of force, recruiting, training, and discipline. They are enforced by a federal court with the oversight of court-appointed monitors. Currently, 14 police departments, including Seattle and Miami, are operating under the decrees. So what was happening under the Justice Department, the old Justice Department, you would have these cases. They would get sensationalized. You would send your AG in. They would the Justice Department would basically investigate the local police. They would come back with the findings, almost always finding some level of corruption and fucked upness. And then they would come up with these protocols to basically oversee these cops. Meanwhile, you know, many people said they did nothing and da 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 da. Cool, but that's what was done. All right. Like, I'm not exactly sure what other people have in mind, but that's what was. That was done. You know, I don't know, this country is radical enough or ready to just be like, ban police or whatever the fuck, right? Which is awesome when the oversight is, you know, especially under a Democratic president, you know, Democratic administration, that oversight is a little bit, you feel a little bit more certain in that. And that they're going to be enforcing some restrictions and punishments and things of this nature for getting, you know, hopefully changing up things. Well, now it won't be as simple as just, Trump coming in and changing things, mm-mm. But, the police groups want to discuss the decrees with Jeff Sessions, Trump's designee for attorney general, who has voiced criticism of them, although any renegotiation would be legally complicated because all parties, as well as a federal judge, must approve any changes. It's a little complicated, but it makes you wonder, wouldn't the president can kind of change judges, you know, can appoint judges and you know, shit? Makes you wonder how that's going to shake out, if it's really going to be that complicated. There are certain decrees that are inartfully applied, and we'd like to see them revisited, said Jim Pascoe, the head of the Fraternal Order of Police, the nation's largest police union with 330,000 members. Keep in mind, they endorsed Trump. Who knows how much money they gave Trump? So,
I mean, that's what he's all about.
People don't, in this country, don't see the police as a lobby, but the police are a lobby too.
Yes, they are.
Fraternal Order of Police, they're a lobby.
Yeah, they're millions of dollars.
Yeah, they're a union that people don't care about.
Right.
Republicans support that union.
The only one.
It endorsed Trump in September and has worked with Sessions, a Republican senator from Alabama, for years while lobbying Congress for pro-police policies. We've always found him a man who's willing to listen to alternatives to a previously charted course. Civil rights groups are alarmed at the possibility that decrees could be unraveled, saying that they have been an important tool for the government to try and address issues like excessive use of force by police in Baltimore, an officer shooting in Ferguson, Missouri, that led to nationwide protests. Trump officials did not respond to multiple requests for comment on the meeting with Loomis. While Trump has not publicly commented on consent decrees, he has expressed strong support for police departments and unions. On January 20th, the White House said, he wants to end the dangerous anti-police atmosphere in America. How are you going to do that? right? So yeah, be safe out there, man. You know, it's not like the decrees have like stopped all this
killing.
Yeah, it's not like it stopped. I don't know. I'm fatalistic. I don't think anything in this country can stop police from killing black people, mm-hmm. Essentially, and brown people, because mm-hmm. white people somehow have legalized fear of us. Yep. And all you have to do is be black, and that's a weapon, and they can kill you. Hey, I was scared. That's how every cop responds with these things. Point being, like, there were efforts made, and now they'll be unmade, you know?
Yep. But he didn't do nothing, though. He didn't do enough.
Yeah.
What did he do?
Yeah, I think, to some extent, people just want him to, like, wave a magic wand, and police killings would just stop, as he said so.
That's not realistic.
Yeah, well, at least now people know, I guess. I don't know. You know, like I said, it's hard for me to see any positivity in the shit that Trump's doing. You know, Trump is the only person. Okay, my bad. Trump is the only person that can get this office without respecting this office. And it's because he's a white man.
Right.
You know, like, I don't think a black man or black person or a person of color or any, you know, really anything other than a white dude could get this office and not have respect for it. You know what I mean? Like, that's a distinctly white thing. Like, people are looking at the way he's running government, and I think some people are almost like, well, damn, why can't, you know, why didn't Barack Obama just write 75 executive orders and just do this, that, and the other? And I'm like, because that kind of black dude couldn't have got that job. Like, who's the magical Negro that gets, I would have vote for him, and also goes, when I get in I'm just gonna write 75 fucking executive orders? That person doesn't exist. So we're just rooting for some shit that just hasn't happened yet. Like, the kind of person that does is a person that's not interested in governing at all. And that's essentially what Trump is. He's a bad person. Like, you know, so I don't think it's realistic to think that somebody could have done it a different way, or that Obama would have done it a different way. Cause I just don't think anyone was thinking like this, except for Trump. And I think, you know, let's give him 4 and 8 years and see what happens then. You know what I mean? Let's see how this shit shakes out. Cause the idea is all this shit he's doing is somehow good and permanent, and the chaos it's causing is whatever. Like, let's see then. Mm-hmm. You know, let's see if he can make it 4 years. Let's see.
Yeah, that's my thing. I don't think he's going to make it 4 years. We'll see. If he makes it 4 years, I say that, you know, white people riding for him again would just give him a chance. Shit,
look at what got rescinded. You know what I mean? His ban and shit. Motherfuckers already fighting against that. Already, the difference is with the, and it's just this country, really. The difference is Barack Obama, by just nature of being a black person, was already upsetting whiteness. Just by being, like, it wasn't even anything he said or did.
Yep.
Just by being
actually
there.
Doing shit to benefit the country as a whole, because he was the president of the whole country and literally cared about everybody, and they were still like, fuck you.
Yeah, I think it's easy now in hindsight to feel, now that we know he got out of office safely, to be like, yeah, he should have just came in and did such and such. We were all like, I hope he live.
Right. You know what?
I hope he makes it into the White House. Oh, he made it into the White House. I hope when he does a press conference, he'll be fine. Okay. I hope when he goes out to speak, he'll be okay.
Yeah, I hope nobody assassinated. Yeah. Like, these were my worries.
Yeah. Like the bar was not where it is, for whiteness. It is, that's, you know, that's just kind of the sad matter of the fact, you know, one of the things about being first in a lot of cases.
Right.
And then also, like I said, he wasn't the militant blackness dude that people are trying to pretend he could have been. And like I said, if he would have been, I just don't think that person wins the election.
Nope.
But but seeing how Trump is running shit, it does make you think what a lack of respect for that office can do.
Right.
Cause now it makes you think, like, well, if somehow an extremely militant person was able to get into position in the White House, could they pull some shit off like this? Because see, the problem is y'all ain't voting for extremely militant person. You know what I mean? So they wouldn't be able to campaign on this extreme militancy, especially no pro-black shit. The country don't support pro-black shit. Country gave us Trump because there was Black Lives Matter. Like, they don't.
Yes, sir.
Like, this isn't the country that's like, I really like this person. They woke. I really think in large part, Hillary Clinton lost this time because there was too much blackness around her campaign. You know? Like, white people were, oh, she's just going to be more Obama. Like, as if they were doing bad. You know what I'm saying? As if Obama was hurting him somehow. But this is, that was like the main contention. Well, if you just want more Obama, it's like, well, what's the problem with that? You right. White. You doing all right. What's the problem?
Right. And the thing about it is that racism is irrational and illogical. Overall, white people have more jobs, still have more jobs. They have the least amount of unemployment than any other particular group. Their pay went up more. Even though black women are more educated as a whole, but their pay in general went up more than any other group across the board. Like, you benefited. Our economy has skyrocketed. Our dollar has went up.
It's afactual. They don't care.
Right.
But what I'm saying when I say, cause I see Leslie was like, she lost cause she had a vagina, and that's true too. But
yeah, that's true.
But, the thing I say about the proximity to blackness, black women running her campaign, all the like snarky comebacks on Twitter that they were covering on the media, you know, delete your account. Oh man, whether it's the hot sauce in my bag shit. And the fact that black people chose her over Bernie Sanders, I'm convinced that she lost a lot of white votes simply because black people picked her. And that's why when you see people that went from Bernie to Trump,
right.
It's, I don't want these niggas, I don't want to be in a party with these people. So I'm running. You know what I mean? That's my belief. I don't think they were, I think they literally were just like, yep, she talking about too much other shit that's not the economy or the thing. Like, right. Bernie could just go to economy and Wall Street and white people agree on that and they can get rallied behind that and they could talk about weed and free college. But when you say, and I want to talk about the systemic racism of the police department, white people, like, even well-meaning white people, I don't give a fuck about that.
Right, because it
don't. Why are you talking about this other shit, Hillary? This is why I'd rather fuck with Trump. He'll burn it all down, blah, blah, blah.
Right, he burned it all down and y'all motherfuckers out there protesting because you didn't really want. That's the thing, a lot of people really didn't want what Trump was serving, but they allowed their racism and their whiteness to just vote because racism is irrational and illogical.
Yeah, they don't want that shit, man. So, whatever, dog. Let's talk about the next one. I think that's 100 for the last one.
Oh, yeah.
The myth about the smart black kids acting white that won't die. This is a Vox Explainer article.
Yeah.
Nerds Come in All Colors by Janae Desmond Harris. You probably heard it before. Too many black students don't do well in school because they think being smart means acting white. Mm. Just last week, Columbia University English professor John McWhorter mentioned it in a piece for Vox to support his critique of elements of Black Lives Matter platform. Key to his argument was his assertion that the similar goals of the 1960s war on poverty failed in part due to black people's cultural traits and behaviors. You know, we just inferior, Karen. While the acting white theory used to be pretty popular to bring up in debates about black academic achievement, there's a catch. It's not true. At best, it's a very creative interpretation of inadequate research and anecdotal evidence. At worst, it's a messy attempt to transform the near universal stigma attached to adolescent nerdiness into an indictment of black culture, while often ignoring the systemic inequality that contributes to the country's racial achievement gap. Yet, McWhorter, despite being a scholar of linguistics, not sociology, has become one of the primary defenders of the acting white theory and has dismissed those who debunk it as pundits who are uncomfortable with the possibility that a black problem could not be due to racism. But the people who challenge it are not pundits. They're academics who dedicated significant time and scientific scrutiny to this theory, and here's why they say it's a myth. And he goes on where the acting white theory came from. The idea that African-American kids underachieve academically because they and their peers associate being smart with acting white and because, wait, I say he, I'm not sure if Janae is male or female. Sorry about that. I want to say it is a black woman. Yeah. All right. My bad. She. She goes on to say that, yeah, this theory came from people saying that they underachieve academically because they and their peers associate being smart with acting white, and because they're afraid they'll be shunned. It was born in the 1980s. John Ogbu, anthropology professor at the University of California, Berkeley, introduced it as an ethnographic study of one of Washington, D.C.'s high schools. He found what he dubbed an oppositional culture, in which he said students saw academic achievement as white. The acting white theory has since become a go-to explanation for the achievement gap between African-American students and their white peers, and is repeated in public conversation as if it's a fact of life. So now you have the fact that we know white teachers send black kids to suspension and things like this at a more higher clip.
We're gonna put them in remedial classes,
right? Like, so that, then later in life, when you look at the achievement gap of, well, this kid has a lower GPA, or black kids in general aren't doing as well, instead of saying, well, maybe our system is biased and we're sort of tainting the pool of blackness as they come up and making it so that they aren't achieving well because we aren't doing our job, it turns into, no, black people are inferior, their culture is inferior, and honestly they just think being smart is acting white, so that's why they don't achieve. We don't need to study it, it just sounds right when we say it,
right? And the thing is, a lot of times, which is amazing, people are shocked and surprised. I know a lot of probably black parents have dealt with this. When you are very active in your child's life, you go to PCA meetings, you meet with the teachers, they do some fucked up shit, you show up there and be like, hey motherfucker, you not gonna do this, or no, my child will not be in a remedial class, like, you demand better from them. All of a sudden you become the problem because you're not just quote unquote allowing your child to be washed underneath the water and become another statistic. You become the problem.
Authors such as Ron Christie in Acting White, The Curious History of a Racial Slur, and Stuart Buck in Acting White, The Ironic Legacy of Desegregation, have written entire books heavy on personal observation, anecdotes, and theories dedicated to the phenomenon. Even President Barack Obama said in 2004, when he was running for U.S. Senate, children can't achieve unless we raise their expectations to turn off the television sets and eradicate the slander that says a black youth with a book is acting white. Perhaps aware of some of these, of the research debunking this as an academic theory in the intervening years, he noted in 2014, related to his My Brother's Keeper program, that it was sometimes overstated. But he still offered the theory in forms of a personal observation, saying that in his experience, there's an element of truth to it where, okay, if boys are reading too much, then, well, why are you doing that? Or why are you speaking so properly? It's no surprise that the acting white narrative resonates with a lot of people. After all, it echoes legitimate frustrations with a society that too often presents a narrow stereotypical image of what it means to be black. It validates the experiences of African American adults who remember being treated like they were different or being smart but not popular in school. And for those who are sincerely interested in improving educational quality, it promises a quick fix. If they would just stop thinking being smart was acting white, they could achieve anything. The acting white theory also validates a particular social conservative worldview by placing the blame of disparate academic outcomes squarely on the backward ideas of black children and black culture pathology, instead of on a harder to tackle factors like socioeconomic equality, implicit racial bias on the part of teachers, segregated and under-resourced schools, and the school discipline disparities that create what's been called the school to prison pipeline. Yeah, that shit's way harder to fix than to just say black people just don't care. You know? Like, as a school, we don't gotta care if they don't care, right? That's what the problem is. As far as we're not going to the fathers in the home thing. The acting white research was weak to begin with. The acting white theory is difficult to assess through research. Ivory Tolson, a Howard University professor, senior research analyst for the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, and deputy director of the White House Initiative of Historically Black Colleges, on historically black colleges and universities, wrote at The Root in 2013, many scholars who claim to find evidence of this theory loosely interpret their data and exploit the expert gap to sell their findings.
Of course.
Despite abundant personal anecdotes by African Americans who say they were good students in school and were accused of acting white, there's no research that explicitly supports a relationship between race, beliefs about acting white, social stigma, and academic outcomes. Even those who claim to have found evidence of the theory, Tolson explained, failed to connect the dots between what students deemed white and the effect of his belief on academic achievement. Observing and or recording African American students labeled a high achieving African American student as acting white does not warrant a characterization of African American academic underperformance as a response to the fear of acting white, he said. Studies suggest that the highest achieving black students are actually more popular than the lowest achieving ones. So that kind of goes right in the face of that. Like, well, you just, people who are stupid because it's more popular to be stupid. It's like, not really. A prime example of a shaky study on this topic, according to Tolson, was Harvard's economist Roland G. Fry's 2006 research paper, Acting White, the Social Price Paid by the Best and the Brightest Minority Students, published by Education Next. The paper purported to affirm Ogbu's findings by using ad health data to demonstrate that the highest achieving black students in the schools Fryer studied had few friends. My analysis confirms that acting white is a vexing reality within a subset of American schools, he wrote. But the numbers didn't actually add up to support the acting white theory, Tolson said. To start, the most popular black students in his studies were the ones with 3.5 GPAs, and a student with 4.0s had about as many friends as those with 3.0s. The least popular students were people with less than 2.5 GPAs. It seemed that the social price paid by the lowest achieving black students was actually far greater than the price and popularity paid by the highest achieving academic kids.
Right.
Fryer conceded this. He said there was no evidence of a trade-off between the popularity and achievement for black students at private schools, poking another hole in the theory. Plus, Tolson pointed out, even if the results had shown the highest achievement students at schools had the fewest friends, that would have indicated a connection between grades and popularity, but wouldn't have supported the core of acting white, as you know, that theory itself. Mm-hmm. Methodology. All right, guys, I'm acting white real quick. I can't hear this word. Methodology? I've never seen that word before. Anyway, the method and shit. The study says, the study has to make out the ostensible leap that the number of friends a black student has is direct measure and a consequence of acting white. He explained in 2009, authors of American Sociology, Sociological Review article, The Search for Oppositional Culture Among Black Students, concluded that high achieving black students were in fact especially popular among their peers, and that being a good student increased popularity among black students even more so than for white students. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, like I said, I can't speak to other people's experience individually, anecdotally, but I know for me, it was a thing where people saw me and were more favorable towards me on some, like, well, you smart, you we look out for you. We don't want, like, you can't,
like,
be,
you going somewhere. Don't be hanging around us. Like, don't be fucking up with us.
You can't, like, it'll be like, you can't smoke weed because you're a nerd. Because you shouldn't be smoking weed with us, right?
Yeah, they'll kick you out the groups.
But they like me. But it wasn't they didn't go, you, because you acting white or whatever. But like I said, I can only speak to my experience. But this is more in line with the experience I had, to be honest. So yeah, McWhorter has dismissed this study as one that encourages us to pretend, because he says that black kids may be dishonest when asked if they value school. Well, then how the fuck can you? Okay. It's unclear why the suspicion of dishonesty only applies to black students and not the white students who were also studied.
Right.
He also has written the self-reports can't be trusted because, according to the reasoning he attributes to Fryer, asking teenagers whether they're popular is like asking them if they're having sex. That may be fair, but it doesn't explain the stronger link between being a good student and self-reports about popularity for black teens than for whites. Yeah, white kids not gonna lie, but what black kids would, and why would you imply the mendacity of black kids somehow outranks white kids? I don't understand. like where's that study at? You know, niggas be lying. In 2011, Smith College's Tina Wildhagen in the Journal of Negro Education tested a entire casual process tested by the acting white theory using the Educational Longitudinal Study of 2002, and found that the results lend no support to the process predicted by the acting white hypothesis for African American students. By the way, it makes you wonder if, I think his name was Tolson or whatever, the guy who is currently on this theory and will not let it go. This is that thing where I feel like maybe his experience was one of those experiences where mm-hmm. he was singled out or joked on or picked on for acting white.
Yeah, that happens.
And now it doesn't matter that his anecdotal experience is not typical and does not statistically jive. It doesn't matter to him. Like, right. He's going to stick with this. And this is something I found when I talk to people that have gone through this shit.
Yep.
it doesn't matter if I say, well, statistically that's not true, or it since that doesn't jive with the way they grew up, they don't want to hear shit. And I used to be the opposite, like,
right,
I used to not want to hear when they would come up with their anecdotal story about how, well, I was treated this way because I'm a black kid and I talk this way, and they said I acted white and shit. And I used to be like, nigga, that's what are you talking about? Like, that doesn't happen. Black people love fucking smart black kids the same way that white people love they smart kids. So, and I mean that good and bad, you know, the same way, you know, you can be a nerd and be any fucking race, you're gonna be right. ostracized, but there's a racial element to being ostracized, I guess, in a black community that wouldn't be there supposedly for other communities,
which is not true, but
more specifically white communities. And that's only because white communities are the litmus. Like, if we didn't measure everything by whiteness, you would probably see that Asian people have people that call them fucking coconuts and shit like that. And you know, like, every race probably got some measure of like, oh, this is the thing that we use to pejoratively call you out for acting white. No, but we kind of have internalized it to just mean it's just black people and we are the worst and that's why our kids are stupid, blah blah blah. And then racism, none of that shit has nothing to do with any of it. Research suggests that black students have more positive attitudes about education than white students. There's an established phenomenon called attitude achievement paradox, which refers to the way positive attitudes about school can fail to translate to successful academic outcomes among black students. Originated by Rosalind Mickelson in 1990, it's been a subject of extensive sociological research. For example, in a study published in the American Sociological Review in 1998, James Answorth Darnell and Douglas Downey, using data from the National Education Longitudinal Study, found that black students offered more optimistic responses than white counterparts to questions about the following. One, the kind of occupation they expected to have at age 30. Two, the importance of education to success. Three, whether they felt teachers treated them well. Four, whether the teachers were good. Five, whether it was okay to break rules. Six, whether it was okay to cheat. Seven, whether other students viewed them as a good student. Eight, whether other students viewed them as a troublemaker. And nine, whether they tried as hard as they could in class. Findings like those fly in the face that of the idea that black students think academic achievement is white or negative, or that it's something they must actively shun for acceptance and popularity. When Tolson analyzed raw data in 2005, CBS News monthly poll of 1,000 high school students who were asked their opinions on being smart and other smart students, he saw this reflected again. Students were asked, thinking about the kids who get good grades in your school, which one of the following describes how you would see them? One, cool. Two, normal. Three, weird. Four, boring. Or five, admired. The responses of black boys and black girls, white boys and white girls were around the same, but black boys were most likely 17% to consider the students cool. Students also answered this question. In general, if you did really well in school, is this something you would be proud of and tell your friends about, or something you would be embarrassed about and keep to yourself? 89% of all students said they would be proud and tell all. Black girls were top among this group, with 95% saying they'd be proud. Meanwhile, white boys at 17% were most likely to say they would be embarrassed or keep it to themselves, or report that they did not know how they would handle the news that they were doing well academically. Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. As recent as 2009, researchers have revisited the theory and confirmed the findings of the pro school attitudes among black students. All racial groups have nerds. It's another segment they have.
All of them.
Yeah, like, you know, it's like I said, that's one of the things I always like. Well, isn't part of being a nerd being an outcast? But it just becomes racialized because you're black. You know what I mean? And like I said, people that have had this happen to them, I think they can't imagine it not happen. Like, the other day there was a post about like being black and carefree is different in the South. And I posted on my Facebook group, on my Facebook page, I mean, and I was like, yeah, I didn't have this experience, basically. Mm-hmm. And there were a couple black dudes that had that experience. And one of them was like, and I was like, you know, and then one of them was in like New Orleans, and I was like, really? Because New Orleans is like such a place of rich, diverse blackness. I can't imagine, right. You know what I mean? I just can't imagine people coming down on you, because it's like you know, but it's just so much shit happens down there where you're like, wow, I can't, like, look how different. Like, I didn't even know they had niggas like this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what a rich culture to be able to choose from this, like, diaspora, how you want to be and what kind of mark you want to leave on this culture. Like, so, like, y'all have something. Like, Charlotte is a place that's pretty much devoid of culture, you know?
Yes, it is.
We're a black city, but it's just, we don't have a culture history. We don't have mm-hmm. a heritage that these other places have.
No.
So, like, to me, it's almost like I've kind of been curious and almost, like, envious of just, like, wow, look at that. Like, you have a funeral and y'all motherfuckers break out jazz horns and fucking, like, we don't have nothing like that, right?
No, we do not.
Well, it's funny though, because this guy was basically saying, like, well, I'll say I'm going to a rock concert, people call me white boy and shit, and that sucks. You know, I'm not here to tell that person you can't feel that way. But later on, somebody asked me, and I was like, well, you never got that? I mean, you had his nerd shirts and you read comic books and shit. And I was like, the people that sold me nerd shirts were black people. The people that showed me comic books and advice, they were black people.
Anime.
The first time I watched anime, it was black people telling me what was dope. Like, to me, my experience was black people are just into everything.
Yep.
If you just know the right black person. So it never crossed my mind until I was an adult that someone would say, you're not black for liking something. Because it's like, well, if it exists, then there's niggas that's doing it and they doing it well. You know what I mean? Like, if it's music, there's a nigga that's doing that music and he's killing that shit. If it's fucking, if it's academics, there's a nigga that's doing that shit and they got all A's. Like, we shine, you know? Like, we don't just exist, but we, you know, like, it's always somebody somewhere that's, like, showing out. So, to me, it never crossed my mind till, you know, I really ran into people that said, like, they thought I was white and shit, that I'm like, wow, that's a thing. You know, anyway, but yeah, all racial groups have nerds.
Yes, they do.
And then lastly, why it matters that we get this right. The acting white theory is tempting to believe because it does contain pieces of truth. Yes, there's a racial academic achievement gap. Yes, there are plenty of African-American adults eager to tell stories about how they were shunned because they were brilliant. McWhorter had vigorously defended the acting white theory against academic critics, primarily by citing 125 letters he says he received from people describing their experiences that reflect the theory. While he argues that accounts in these letters should be accepted without question, he disregards data such as scientific study responses indicating pro-school attitudes towards among black kids because of his view that personal feelings are not reachable by direct questioning. And yes, some high achieving black kids, like kids of all races, experience social stigma. These individual effects are painful and they resonate with people in a way that makes it easy to blur what's missing from the acting white equation. An actual casual connection between, I just want to make sure it wasn't causal. Oh wait, no, it is causal. Alright, I fucked up. An actual causal connection between the accusations of acting white and social stigma and lower academic outcomes. There isn't one. It's particularly troubling that this myth persists because stories about the sources of educational inequality can shape public attitudes and policy. Exactly. Perfect example is McWhorter's recent Vox piece. Readers who believe his assertion about the acting white theory may have been more likely to be convinced of his larger argument that cultural orientations of black communities are a cause of inequality, and that is, of course, a very damning charge that could shape attitudes about black people and perpetuate racism. But the most glaring problem with it is that it is an outdated theory that has fallen out of favor with actual sociologists. A continued willingness to believe that solutions lie in simply repairing backward attitudes about getting good grades will continue to distract from the real problems. Poverty, segregation, discipline disparity, teacher biases, and other structural factors. Unfortunately, none of these issues are as easy to fix as simply changing the beliefs of black students. Excellent piece. I had to read, I mean, I didn't read it all, but I read most of it because when I read it, I was just like, thank you, like, saving this shit to my favorites, like, because honestly, like, there's a difference between there's a lot of anti-blackness couched in the, like, they said I was acting white shit, and it's like a fine line, because if it's your experience, that's your experience. But if then your next leap is to say that's how every black kid that was smart's experience was, or the majority of us, or to say that black people are basically inferior, and we treat achievement academically as a negative, and other races don't. Once we start making leaps like that, while it might feel correct, it's important that it be correct, because you are talking about the difference between funding somebody's school. You're talking about the difference between discipline in school. We're talking about the difference between, you know, the way that we perceive people as adults, even, you know, when they throw resumes out. You know what I mean? How people expect you to behave when you are of a certain, like, race, you know, like, we're talking about a lot of shit. You know, what defines smart? You know, we're talking about a lot of shit. And it's not fair that people had that heaped upon them as children, but it's also not fair to perpetuate it as adults when we should fucking know better. So anyway, I don't feel fucked with it at all by reading that. I appreciate that shit, honestly. Like, that was a good read. What about you, Karen?
No, I'm not fucked with it at all. I do think when it comes to blackness, there's, as I've gotten older, I too have came to the realization that you have to love all forms of blackness, and your experience isn't the only experience in blackness, you know, because I grew up with black people around me, and it's one of those things where the joy, the pain, it was all in blackness. I can truly say growing up, I never had white friends that were like really, really like close to my heart, you know. I never was in a lot of white inner circles. So a lot of times when it came to whiteness was, I can't explain, like it was literally another culture. I think I didn't really get into whiteness and understand how whiteness functioned actually until I got into corporate America. And for a lot of people, that's the same, because when you walk into corporate America, you're literally walking into the den of whiteness, being black and uneducated about whiteness. Mm-hmm. And that's a different experience all in itself. And you have black people who are accustomed and used to and can navigate that shit with ease, but it was not easy for me to navigate at all.
Right. Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I appreciate the read, honestly. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready to switch it up? Go to another segment?
Let's do it.
All right. I know about that Hall and Oates.
Yes.
That's right. White people news time. A great time with all these idiots, David Spade and Ben Stiller reunite with Adam Sandler to celebrate his 50th birthday in Utah.
Oh, shit now.
That's right. Celebrate it because you made it. it was all the people with failed comedy movies just hanging out. Was Rob Schneider there? I wonder if he was there. Mm-hmm. Telling people how he don't like John Lewis. They all made their names in the 90s, have enjoyed fame for decades, but despite their busy schedules, David Spade and Ben Stiller still found a way to spend some quality time with their good friend Adam Sandler. All between tanking movies.
Of course.
David, 52, took to his Twitter on Monday to share a cute group photo featuring he, Ben, Adam, and several other comedic minds together. Apparently, the Motley Crue got together to belatedly celebrate Adam's 50th birthday in Utah. Oh, Jesus, it didn't get whiter than that, guys. Bunch of old has-beens celebrating in Utah. David, 52, catching the image to his 2.5 million followers. Sandler's late birthday this weekend in Utah. Great time with all these idiots. Other notable guests included longtime friends and collaborators of Sandler, Alan Covert and Jonathan Loughran. Let's say that. One interesting party together was Rage Against the Machine, Prophets of Rage guitarist Tommy Morello. Oh, he was there.
Ah,
good for you guys. I don't see any black people in this picture. Okay. All right. Guess no brothers got the invite. Huh. All right. Anyway, Adam and Ben are set to star in a movie called Yedin Kikissa, which is set to release sometime this year. What the fuck could that be? Yedin Kikissa? Apparently it's centered around an estranged family who gathers together for an event in New York in order to celebrate their father's artistic work. The film will also star Emma Thompson, Dustin Hoffman, Elizabeth Marvel, Candace Bergen, Cindy Chung, Sakina Jaffrey, and Adam's nephew, Jared Sandler. Y'all gotta get the family in there. I don't blame you, buddy. Nepotism is cool. The best BFF, Busy Phillips, wears a uterus sweatshirt as she jets hand in hand with Michelle Williams.
What?
Mm-hmm.
That's a uterus sweatshirt.
It's a sweatshirt. Well, Karen, like I uterus? Hope you can figure this out. It's a sweatshirt with a symbol on it. And the symbol is of, you guessed it, a uterus. Mm-hmm. Blood owl. Their friendship began when they got their big break on Dawson's Creek back in the early 2000s. And Busy Phillips and Michelle Williams showed that they are close as ever as they jetted off on a trip on Monday and the day after attending the SAG Awards together. Holding hands across the aisle on takeoff, flying with your BFF is the best, wrote Busy, who wrote a bright pink uterus motif sweatshirt. Or wore, I mean. So you see the picture?
Mm-hmm.
That's a uterus sweatshirt. Got like a uterus there.
Mm-hmm. Not like the picture seen on your doctor's wall.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Did she have all the parts pointed out like they do on the walls?
Nope. You can see it on the picture. It's not pointed out. The Rachel Antonoff female reproductive sweater worn by Busy has sold out at boutiques in L.A., costing $98.
Woo!
Don't worry, Karen. I know it's expensive, but you can also get the t-shirt for them for $64.
Woo.
I know. I prefer my Michelle Obama side-eye t-shirt to that. And it didn't cost me $64 either.
Mm-mm. I could take a picture of my own uterus and it'd be cheaper than that.
Busy 37 first wore hers when she took her daughters Birdie and Cricket to... Her daughters are named Birdie and Cricket. Oh, man.
Told you. So we done went from fruits to animals.
Birdie and Cricket, come on, man.
What are named Tom and Jerry characters?
Come on, man. What are we supposed to say to that? Mm-hmm. Birdie and Cricket.
Yeah, and then people wonder
what
why.
What white nonsense is this?
Why I joke you for naming your kids Apricot and Avocado.
What white nonsense is this?
Anyway, Busy, 37, first wore hers with Birdie and Cricket. And flirting with feminists, and fitting with their feminist beliefs at the airport in Los Angeles, Busy and Michelle were spotted reading from Aussie writer Charlotte Wood's novel, The Natural Way of Things, a dystopian novel which challenges misogyny. They also kicked a black woman out the elevator and said, "Move, bitch.
Ah!
We got to read." Right. No, I'm just kidding.
We got cameras behind us. We're important.
Yeah.
Even though we called them here.
Dressed down for the flight. Busy teamed her statement sweater with a comfy pair of denim jeans and trainers. Michelle went for a long sleeve maxi dress and boots, carrying a denim jacket and black leather handbag. Their casual look was in contrast to the previous evening when the duo attended the SAG Awards together. Mother of one, Michelle, had asked Busy to attend the event as her date. Sequence all day, every day, wrote an excited Busy on Instagram as it made the evening into a girls' night. Michelle, who wore an incredible Louis Vuitton gown, was nominated for Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Supporting Role for her work in Manchester by the Sea. On the night, the award went to Fences to Viola Davis. Mm-hmm. I mean, but come on. That wasn't even fair. Mm-mm. Man, the SAG Awards. Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Lead Role, Denzel. Mm-hmm. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Lead Role, Emma Stone, La La Land. I knew that was going to happen.
Right.
Mahershala Ali won for Male Supporting Actor. Mm-hmm. Viola Davis won for Fences. Damn, niggas was winning. Outstanding Performance by a Cast, Hidden Figures. The fuck was this, the BET Awards?
I don't know, but niggas swept the room.
I would have watched this if I knew these niggas was going to be winning. Outstanding Performance by a Stunt Ensemble in the Motion Picture. Oh, Hacksaw Ridge. Okay, we back to normal. Television, Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor, John Lithgow for The Crown. Okay, getting kind of white. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Drama Series, Claire Foy, The Crown.
Got some shit I didn't watch.
Outstanding Performance by an Ensemble in a Drama Series, Stranger Things. Yeah, dog. Shout out to my girl Leslie. If y'all want to know what we thought about Stranger Things, I believe we did an off-season review on it.
Y'all dig it?
Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Comedy Series, William H. Macy for Shameless. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Comedy Series, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Veep. Outstanding Performance by a Simon in a Comedy Series, Orange is the New Black. Outstanding Performance by a Male Actor in a Miniseries, Bryan Cranston won over Courtney B. Vance. Side eye to that. Mm-hmm. Courtney B. Vance should win all the fucking... Nigga, y'all don't even know what Johnny looked like no more.
Nope,
You just see Courtney B. Vance. And we can all stop pretending that it's not that way.
Right.
He walked down the street, I'd be like, Courtney B. Vance, can you represent me in a case?
Come on.
I need some help.
I need some legal advice.
He'll be like, I didn't go to law school. I don't care. Dress up as Johnny. Put that Jerry Curl wig on and let's do this.
Let's win this case.
Yeah. That's how they got Brendan Dassey out for Making a Murderer season 2.
Ha
ha! Just had Courtney B. Vance show up to the court. Outstanding Performance by a Female Actor in a Miniseries, a Television Movie, Sarah Paulson, American Crime Story. Oh, so she won for her Marsha Clark. That's good. She should.
Yeah, she played the hell out of role.
An Outstanding Performance by a Stunt Ensemble Game of Thrones. All right. Good for everybody. Mm-hmm. And good for these white ladies wearing them clothes. Mm-hmm. Hillary Duff laughed off getting She laughed off getting a parking ticket on her $130,000 Mercedes-Benz after making red carpet debut with her handsome new beau.
I'd have laughed that off too.
Hillary Duff needs to buy a watch. On Monday, the 29-year-old singer got a parking ticket for an expired meter on her $130,000 Mercedes-Benz G-Class SUV while in Studio City, California. The blonde didn't seem to mind, however, as she was seen laughing. That may be because she has a new man in her life, music producer Matthew Comer. Now, how would that be the thing? Are you sure it's just not that she's rich? She's like, a parking ticket. I remember these.
I know, right? And she would tell somebody, don't forget to audit that. You know, yeah. Go ahead and debit that from my account.
Send this to my personal assistant. I'll have them file it off right away.
Right.
I'm rich. Instead, they were like, it must be because she's getting some dick, y'all. Mm-hmm. So when she's not getting mad at it, like, oh, she's just having a hard time getting dick, guys. She's very upset about this parking ticket. The avid gym bunny was seen making her way to the gym in a pair of striped black leggings as she prepared for a grueling workout. The actress wore a graphic white tee, a black leather jacket, and a monochrome flannel on her waist. The blonde beauty also accessorized with a baseball cap and black trainers. All right, bunch of pictures. She made her way to the gym with a girlfriend and she opted to wear minimal makeup for the outing. The younger actress previously dated her personal trainer, Jason Walsh, but the pair ended things recently after a 6-month relationship. That didn't stop the actress from opening up about her relationship. Yo, I don't know if I'm a trainer and I have a client that's paying me a lot of money. There's no way I'm fucking them. only because now when the relationship end, nigga, you just gonna stop paying me to train you? Nah. Mm-mm. This forever, baby. We go together for life. Mm-hmm. Plus, you know, she could be a horrible person, but you can't break up because you got a trainer and shit. This your income. It's too much. She got candid about her love life as she graced the cover of Cosmopolitan's February issue. She reflected on how she knew the timing was right when she went public with her relationship in October, despite splitting 1 month later. People don't need to know my business till I really know my business. You know, the blonde explained. That is deep. I say that all the time. We were seeing each other for a while. People don't know the ins and outs of everything, she added. It was definitely my first more serious relationship since my ex-husband. It seems Duff has bounced back quickly as the mother of one stepped out over the weekend with her new beau, Coma, at Entertainment Weekly pre-SAG Awards. The musician posed on the red carpet together. She make music? Oh, I didn't know that.
You know, I don't know.
I didn't know what we was talking about her for. I just talk about them because the pictures are pretty.
Okay.
Anyway, they went out, put a picture on Instagram, said it was date night. Good for you, Hillary Duff, and that ticket. Mary Tyler Moore died because she had a heart attack, y'all. She dead.
Oh.
And it was brought on by pneumonia and diabetes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Didn't know white people could get that, did you?
Mm-mm. Not sugars.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Let's see. You know what? It's time to move into some guest stories, guys. You've had enough white people news today. All right, one more. Okay, one more, guys. One more white people news. A lot of secrets are going to come out. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie documentary is set to reveal reasons behind their divorce.
Ha ha! All the tea gonna get spilled.
Mm-hmm. All the secrets. Mm-hmm. Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie's relationship is in the subject of a new documentary by filmmaker Ian Halperin. You can just do that. You can just be like, oh, them niggas getting divorced? I'm gonna make a documentary. The 52-year-old investigative journalist has promised to expose the intimate details behind their breakup and has claimed the Hollywood duo were estranged for more than a year before the split in September 2016. Source told The Sun, this is a definitive film about Brangelina and a lot of the secrets are going to come out. Mm. Ian has covered every cough and spit of their relationship and will reveal the real reason behind Angelina filing for divorce. Mm. The biggest shock will be his claim that the couple were apart for more than a year prior to their breakup. Why would I watch this? That's all you got? That's all you got? I thought the biggest claim was going to be something like, he was beating a black one. Check out our documentary. He was racist to her too. It's called Hidden Niggas. It's about Brad Pitt and his discipline. Mm-mm. Hidden Niggas, H-I-T-T-I-N apostrophe.
And niggas. Y'all thought he was the savior.
Mm-hmm. meanwhile, Brad is reportedly much happier because he has been spending more time with his children in recent weeks. The Fury star is feeling more upbeat since he started seeing his kids. Maddox, 15. Pax, 13. Zahara, 12. That's the black one. Shiloh, 10. And the 8-year-old twins, Knox and Vivian, more often. The source said he seemed to have a more positive outlook. Things seem more better now. He can spend more time with them. He seems much happier. He has missed his kids terribly. The kids are his whole world. It's all he cares about. And the Hollywood star is happy to work with his estranged wife in the hopes it will make the split easier on the children. The insider said Brad is willing to work with Angie so they can have peace for the kids. What it ultimately comes down to is that he just wants to be with the kids. Earlier this month, the former couple released their first joint statement since the actress filed for divorce in September. So there you guys go. Y'all caught up on white people news. And hopefully that'll make you happy. People always like, I live for the white people news. All right, let's go to guest the race.
Now then it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time. Now that it's time for some guess the race. That's right, it's guess the race time.
That's right, it's time for Guess the Race, the number one game show going across all the podcasts, and we read a play news article from all over the globe, and we ask our contestants today, Karen and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course there are races, and Guess the Race is brought to you by Bevel. Bevel is the first and only shaving system designed specifically for coarse curly hair and sensitive skin. Step up your shave game and say goodbye to razor bumps at getbevel.com/tbgwt. It's Valentine's, okay? You only got a couple weeks. You need to start ordering your Bevel now, so you're going to be looking fresh on Valentine's Day, so that she'll be wanting to, like, get close to you and smell what you smell like, okay? It come with all kinds of creams and oils and all this stuff. Like, your skin won't just feel smooth and look smooth and be smooth, but you also going to be smooth as a person. Like, you're going to be like, girl, let me order you that steak, you know, or whatever it is. I don't know what your budget is. Even if it's just a 2 for $20 at Applebee's, do what you got to do. But make sure you look good doing it. GetBevel.com/TBGWT. Also, makes an excellent Valentine's Day gift, okay? Maybe you're getting tired of looking at that shit on his face, too, okay?
And yeah!
He's treating you nice. He's a good guy. But you really would like him to be, you know, a little better shave, less bumps, less irritation. Give him the gift of no irritation for the rest of the year. GetBevel.com/TBGWT. A teen has been arrested for stabbing a person in the face over a juice box.
Oh? What kind of juice?
A teen in St. John's County is accused of stabbing a middle-aged man in the face over a juice box. The St. John's County Sheriff's Office arrested 18-year-old Tavage Tobler on Tuesday after responding to a residence on Herbert Street. According to the arrest report, Tobler stabbed the victim in the lower left jaw, causing bodily harm and permanent disfigurement. The victim told investigators the altercation ensued over a Minute Maid fruit punch juice box.
Ha ha, the juice is important to me.
The two are roommates, according to the roommates. Okay. All right. How old was he? They just said middle age, right? All right. The two were roommates, according to the report. Tobler told deputies there was a fight because the victim drank in his juice. Tobler says things turned physical when the victim started putting his finger in Tobler's face. Tobler then hit the victim in the face, but he claims he didn't stab him. Tobler was charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Guess the race of Tavage Tobler.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room what they think the race of Tavage Tobler is. I feel like the color of that juice when he got done with him was red. All right, let's check the chat room, see what you guys believe. Get your hands off my juice box, Black. He described the flavor as red black. Real black. Since it was juice and not drink, I'm gonna say white. Don't touch a Black man's juice, probably just left a swallow. Black, hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch? Black. Aww. We all know Donald Sterling wouldn't be roommates with a Black person. He's white. Don't touch my apple juice, Black. Porch monkey that doesn't know that Tampico is not freshly squeezed. And lastly, didn't realize I was holding a knife. White, the correct answer is. And Karen, mm-hmm. You got it wrong. He was Black.
What?
Some of you did get it right. I mean, the boy's name is Tavage, Karen. How could you not know? You thought you heard Tavage and went white?
Well, you never know. White folks naming their kids chickpeas and things, so I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Karen? He's got the juice now. Sorry about that pun, guys. I'm gonna move on. I know this is the last straw. Alright.
He stabbed him like he had to stab the jaw in that juice box.
Mm-hmm. Just get a little bit for that. That's terrible. Like you're trying to just get out the box today. All right. I knew you were gonna try to do one. As soon as the minute I made that pun. Oh, Minute Maid. Let's go. All right. That's enough.
That's a good one.
That's enough.
That's a real good one.
All right. not this dude. I don't want to do this dude. How about? All right, here's one. A suspect has been arrested after a man was beaten to death with a helmet inside of a Walmart.
What?
Mm-hmm. A manhunt ended Wednesday night.
You can see your screen.
Y'all can see my screen? Oh, no, that's terrible. Now we can't do this one. Sorry.
Okay.
Everybody was cheating.
How's it all fault?
I'm sorry, everybody. That's my fault.
I looked up and was like, wait a minute, why are we seeing
this? Now I got to scroll all the way to the bottom and find one y'all didn't see. Jesus. How about... A couple is arrested for stealing a lawnmower after riding it around in the nude, claiming someone swiped their clothes while they went skinny dipping.
Oh, white!
Going white out the box, huh? Alright.
Skinny dipping.
Mm-hmm. A Missouri couple was arrested after someone spotted them riding a stolen lawnmower while naked. Tanya Harper and Larry Webster. Tanya's 40, Larry's 55, were busted around 8:30 a.m. Damn! A.m.?
Ooh, they was at it bright and early in the morning.
When a neighbor saw the man driving a lawnmower with the woman on his lap.
Ah!
When deputies arrived, a couple was standing near a friend's house, presumably with their clothes back on. They didn't deny the incident instead, claiming to Jasper County authorities that they were skinny dipping at a nearby Turkey Creek when a man emerged from the wood and stole their clothes. They claimed they found an orange lawnmower in the woods and drove it home. They now face felony charges for stealing the lawnmower, $5,000 Kubota. The Spoken Gun reported the owner said he left his lawnmower on his property, not abandoned in the woods. The couple has been released on $500 bond each. Sticking with white.
Mm-hmm.
Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Someone said 21 Tavage. That's good. Peak whiteness, the definition of whiteness. White with red lines. Let's see. Sit on daddy's lap, Caucasian. Caucasian. The caulk. So white, they voted for Trump twice. Aww. Glow in the dark, white. Surviving is enough adventure for black folks. They're definitely white. I'm gonna say black because they caught the charge. It was a felony. Working with the farm equipment, sex talk white.
Oh, give Trump a chance white.
Give Trump a chance white. Of course the correct answer is, and Karen, this time you got it, white. Woo-hoo! And some of you guys missed it.
Oh yeah, he got a porn mustache,
right? And she got that purple. She got the purple streaks in her hair.
They're like he walk up and he go ding 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 ding. Old school 70 porns.
Boom chicka boom boom. Boom chicka boom boom ding boom boom boom. I don't know what kind of old school porn you listen to. Anyway, let's go to the bonus round. Oh wait, I meant. Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race. That's right. Double the points, double the race. Bonus round, guess the race. So far, Karen's 1-for-1. But we're going to see if she can come out on end on a high note. All right. Let's get this racism going. Intoxicated New Mexico grandmother, 52, was arrested after letting her drunk 13-year-old grandson drive her.
What? White.
A New Mexico grandmother was arrested after the vehicle she was riding in was pulled over and it was discovered her allegedly drunken 13-year-old grandson was driving a car. During a traffic stop, the New Mexico deputies found an intoxicated minor behind the wheels. San Juana Marquero Mendez, 52, was highly intoxicated in the blue 1994 Oldsmobile backseat. Santa Fe deputy Clay Collison pulled the pair over on Thursday after he spotted the car weaving. The 13-year-old was believed to be drunk and was unlicensed. Upon her arrest,
you don't say, at 13.
Upon her arrest, Mercado Mendez stumbled into the patrol car, according to the Santa Fe New Mexican. Officers say they also found two open Coors Light cans in the vehicle.
Yeah, I changed mine. It's Mexican.
Okay. It is unclear where they were going, but officers said the vehicle stopped near Mercado Mendez's home. Mercado Mendez has been charged with suspicion of contributing to the delinquency of a minor, child abuse, and possession of an open container of alcohol in a motor vehicle. The minor was taken into custody but refused a blood test, according to police. He faces charges of aggravated DWI, failing to yield to an emergency vehicle, driving without a license, failing to maintain lanes, and having an open alcoholic beverage in the motor vehicle.
What?
Mercado Mendez was arrested on Friday, 2015, on a charge of driving, February of 2015, on a charge of driving with suspended or revoked license. Oh, so this was a case of, my license is fucked up, but you only 13. They won't catch me if a minor's driving, and you won't go to jail because you just a kid.
They was like,
wrong.
These charges, child.
Wrong. You still can't be in there letting them operate the motor vehicle.
Right.
With open containers.
You and the baby drunk.
Yeah. Also, a suspicion of larceny and two counts of contributing to the delinquency of a minor. That was last year. That was 2015. It's not known if either of them have an attorney. Guess the race of, what was her first name? San Juana Mercado Mendez.
Shout out to the baby that was like, nope, you will not be drug testing me.
Mm-hmm. Let's check the chat room. Coors, drive your abuela is to the Bodega Latina. About to get their dreaming asses deported to Mexico. You son of a bitch, EVE. Oh. The cop was surprised that only two Latinos were in the car. Latina. Cinco de Mayo. No, Latina. Crackling under the pressure of Trump's anti-brown hate, Latina. Aww. Right? Can I get a drink? Can I get a Coors Light? I mean, this nigga is trying to kill us. Mexican, wall financiers.
Aww. Spinny Gonzalez should have never stopped Latino.
Yeah, they got that slow folk Gonzalez. At any rate, everybody's right. They were Latino. Oh, man. All right. That was some good racism to end the day. You guys are very racist. Sword Ratchet this time. All right, guys, let's get to the sword ratchetness. A man is accused of attacking a woman with a ninja sword at a Waikiki hotel.
Shit.
Damn. That's where you go to get away from your troubles.
I'm trying to tell you.
Trouble follow you all the way there.
Right. Did somebody pick up their name on a ninja mission? It was like, this is your assignment.
Yeah. You have to kill her.
A man is being held on $500,000 bail after police say he attacked a woman with a sword in Waikiki.
$500,000 bail. $500,000? That's some change.
46-year-old Brian Schacher used a, quote, ninja sword to attack the woman inside the lobby of the Eva Hotel on Cartwright Road around noon on Saturday. Schacher is charged with assault. He appeared in court today and will be back on Thursday. Now, as for the victim, she was working at the hotel's front desk and was taken to the hospital in serious condition.
What the fuck? He just ran in the hotel and attacked the woman in the lobby?
With ninja sword.
That was working there?
Mm-hmm. Hit that right bumper and then press A and sliced.
Not to be outdone. Canada. Ontario man with a sword threatens to behead a woman who offered him coffee. How dare she? Okay, how dare you offer me some coffee?
Was it black? No sugar, no cream?
A 49-year-old man is facing charges after allegedly waving a sword and threatening to behead a woman who offered him coffee. Police in Kingston, Ontario say the weekend encounter took place at a local home. The victim allegedly asked the man if he wanted any coffee or food and soon determined that he had been drinking. When she indicated that he would, wait, when she indicated he would have to leave if he didn't stop drinking, police alleged he grabbed a sword from the counter of the room and threatened to cut off her head. Okay, you can stay, damn. They say he then began waving it at her as she reached for a phone to call the police, prompting her to flee the room and take her son along for protection. Police arrested the man without incident and charged him with assault with a deadly weapon, uttering death threats, and possession of a dangerous weapon. Well, we started with a Canadian crime. We end with a Canadian crime. We'll be back tomorrow, guys. I hope you guys have a good rest of the day. And we'll see you guys then. Until then, love you.
I love you too. Mwah.